And have everybody's attention for the council meeting Tuesday, December 12th. We will now call the meeting to order. And Councillor Innes, if you can lead us into prayer, and then we'll follow with the national anthem.
Grant us, O God, perception and patience that justice, truth, and honesty may be evident in our planning and our governing. Make us aware of the needs of each part of this town of Caledon. Save us from the parochialism that divides us, and so create in us a desire for progress and responsible action, that all our words and deeds may be in accord with thy will, to the glory of the holy name. Amen.
Please note to everyone that assistive listening devices for the use of the council chamber are available on request from the clerks or down to my immediate right. Please may ensure that all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent, please. And I will now, moving on next to our agenda, disclosure of pecuniary interest. Is there any members of council? Not? Oh, sorry. Councillor Groves.
I have a pecuniary or a conflict with the tribunal. My ex has applied for that position.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? If not, we'll now move on to the confirmation of minutes. Moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Befford, that the council meeting minutes dated November 7th, 2017 be approved. All in favor? Oh, sorry, Councillor Shaughnessy. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want it to be noted that I actually don't support the minutes of November 7th. I don't support the in-camera minutes, and I just like to make sure that in the minutes for December 12th that it's duly noted that I am not in support of what is written about those minutes.
Okay. Doing that, Councillor Groves, Councillor Shaughnessy, sorry, still the night's early too. I'm going to need you to call for a recorded vote, please.
I'd be happy to do so. Okay. Would you like me to?
I'll turn it over to the clerk.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote's been called in regards to the minutes dated November the 7th that they're approved. So all those in favor, please stand. I see that Councillor Mazzapelli, Councillor Innes, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer are in favour, and those opposed. Councillor Shaughnessy and Councillor Groves, the motion carries. Okay.
Okay. Is there any urgent business? If not, I'm going to move on. But before we get to delegations, I'm going to say to all council, we've got a heavy agenda tonight. So what I'm going to ask is all members of council, you have two chances to speak on each item. And I'm going to hold everybody to 5 minutes just to kind of keep the meeting moving. So that's part of our procedural bylaw, and I'm going to be following that tonight. Now, I will now move on to delegations. I will now call upon Ian Sinkler, resident of the town of Caledon, to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning staff report 2017-73, vexatious and frivolous, and unreasonable requests and complaints. And as you know, according to our procedural bylaw, you have 10 minutes to give your presentation. Welcome, Mr. Sinkler.
Thank you. My hope and purpose of this delegation is to request and have council refer this back to staff for further discussion. It's a very important set of issues. I'd like to start off by acknowledging that there may be a formal policy dealing with problematic residents that's necessary, but the proposed policy needs some work. I'd like to point out that there are an absence of any stats or past experiences with problematic residents noted in the report. I note the reference to a balancing exercise in deciding if a request or complaint is vexatious, frivolous, or unreasonable. But the weight of the report is towards staff-centered and focused on punishments, not solutions. I note that past councils and current one has been generally characterized by the town responses to questions but not answers. And that really irritates people. And the lack of answers leads to persistent requests, following up, trying to get information or action. So there's a problem of the town considering issues but not resolving them. And so that agitates people. And they like write further letters, make further phone calls, which in terms of this proposed policy would learn to lead to certain sanctions. I note that the list of examples on page 2 of 9 in the report is useful, but it's all defensive. I think there's a problem with having simply managers making punishment decisions regarding what they consider as problematic residents. Surely their decisions like that must be more senior. And I point out that most staff are expertise in their fields, but they don't have legal training. And these are quasi-judicial decisions about people's access to information in their local government. And it's proposed that the punishments might be limiting the town contact for the resident, limiting the use of services, whatever that might be, no access to town facilities except by appointment, and pursuing legal action. So, very serious matters. There's a claim in the report there are no financial implications, and I would suggest that the legal costs of implementation may be quite high. I think something that needs to be clarified in the report is to describe the difference between a request and a complaint. I had an odd experience myself. There's some bridges on the gravel section of McLaughlin Road near me, and there's often very serious potholes at the edges of the bridge, and I phoned up to request they get fixed, because it's okay for me. I know they're there and can steer through them. An unwary motorist would not. And the town person immediately called it a complaint. I said, well, wait a minute now. I thought this isn't confrontation. I just a request and pointing this out. I think an improvement in the report and the policy proposed is, when does a reasonable request become unreasonable? There doesn't seem to be a clear division there. And a resident may be making requests for information, such as a planning or land use document, or they may be asking for action by the town. I point out a resident may become obsessive if they're experiencing harm to their property. And they could also be obsessive if neighbors' use of land nearby causes a nuisance to them or drainage issues, for example. And, you know, if the problem persists and the town simply doesn't take action, then that invites further requests. I think somewhere in the report and the policy there should be a discussion of the vexatious neighbor complaining about another neighbor as a means of attacking them. And I know of one situation on Heart Lake Road in Ward 1 where a vexatious neighbor is persistently called building department out to investigate the neighbor's property, called out bylaw repeatedly to investigate the neighbor's property, called out fire to investigate the property, and had the OPP there many times. So this adds up where there's no basis for claims as a real poor use of staff resources. So it's not actually the neighbor going after staff, which is the focus of the report, but there are other sources of problems. I know there doesn't seem to be a reference to response times for a resident request. Noted, there may be other policies where that is, but it's not here. So long delays in responses and infrequent contact with a resident that's put into a request can cause more and more letters and calls. There's a list of 20 items as examples of various behaviors that might be objectionable on page 7 of 9. But I suggest that needs to be broken up into whatever applies to vexatious, whatever applies to frivolous and unreasonable to be a useful list. It's a bit of a ballpark there. I note that the list was lifted directly from the Region Appeal Policy. I think in terms of an investigation of a problematic resident would be to answer the question, was the original request reasonable? And another issue would be if the resident in question has had a loss of health or a mental health issue, that's a consideration that should be included in the decisions and the policy. So you may want to treat some people more carefully than others. And another part of the investigation is, has the town stonewalled the resident? And there's nothing that infuriates people more when their government simply throws up a wall. And I noticed a trend for the use of potential litigation for not forwarding information or not dealing with an issue. And the problem with potential litigation is anything the town does has potential litigation, right? So if a road superintendent stops in the pickup truck on the road to pick up a dead coon, it's potential litigation of someone hitting him. So very trivial things can be potential litigation. I think there should be steps in the procedure here where there should be a requirement for a warning to someone that their behavior is becoming problematic for staff. And possibly a next step might be a visit from police to say, look, you're really going over the top here. Something's coming at you. You better deal with it. I think there's a real problem with the Charter of Rights when you limit residents' use of town resources and services. You better have a pretty good reason. I think there should be a need to consult ward counselors and the mayor in a decision like this. You know, so that would be some of my brief comments on the policy, and I would request that council consider referring this to staff for further discussions and clarifications. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sinclair. I have no questions. Thank you for your delegation.
Councillor Groves, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not sure at what point. I know there's another delegation, and Mr. Sinclair has requested a referral, and I'm happy to move a referral, but I guess we'll wait for Ms. Ms. Wilson.
Yeah, well, we'll do that when we bring it forward. Right now, I think we'll bring Ms. Wilson up.
Okay, thank you.
I will now call on Kathleen Wilson, resident of Caledon, to approach the podium and provide a delegation concerning staff report 2017-73, vexatious, frivolous, and unreasonable requests and complaints. In accordance to a procedural bylaw, you have 10 minutes.
Okay, I won't take 10 minutes. Ian's deputation was really good. I think really one of my concerns was his report didn't have any factual data of what actually is this really an issue with residents. I'd like to use an example myself is that, you know, in the northeast corner of Caledon, we're having a lot of issues with a property that's non-in compliance. And I would probably be banned tonight to actually speak and delegate for the number of emails that I've sent. And I am not, by any means, I'm seeking to understand. There's a lot of information that, you know, I'm asked to do FOI requests. I'm being passed around to different parts. So I really think the policy in the report wasn't written in such a way that to delight your customer, who are the residents of Caledon, right? Because people, you know, we do take a, if you take a position in public service, you have to have a customer service attitude. The other issue was, as the thing that I did try to see is that I don't believe the town of Caledon has actually put forth a communication plan. A lot of organizations, what they do is they decide what the communication plan is. Somebody texts you or calls you, you should leave a voicemail, you get back in an hour. Or if somebody emails you, what's an appropriate time to get back to a resident? And I think if you addressed more of a communication plan with how you do with residents and publish that, I think people would better understand, okay, when I send an email to you, to the mayor, your worship, how long could they expect to get an answer from you if I don't hear back from you for 3 weeks? The other question I asked was to my local counselor was, what benefit does this policy have to the residents? And I haven't gotten an answer on that. So it, to me, when I read it, I felt it was very self-serving to staff. And I understand that, you know, maybe there are issues of people threatening staff members, but that's what the police are here for. The other thing is the other portion of restriction and banning residents from town services. The question that my spouse gave is, do we get a rebate on our taxes then? Because if 50% of our family is not allowed to attend or use the public library or go on town property, that means that, you know, maybe we should get a rebate back from the town being banned from these services. So I would ask for council and town staff to actually take a better stab at this report, put in some actual factual data. It seemed very confrontational. It didn't seem very supportive to the needs of the residents of Caledon and the taxpayers of Caledon. And I think first I would love to see a communication plan drawn up by the town and shared within the town and have policies of how we would hear with it, even interdepartmental in town, and then publish that onto the website. Because, as I said, it's you know, I know Nick DeBoer mentioned that I could, you know, contact him for a question on if I have a problem with zoning, my neighbor's zoning on the property. Well, then he's going to ask staff that question, who will return at the message back to him, which would come back to me. It doesn't seem very efficient. So, any questions?
No, I have none.
Okay.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now bring that one forward. We're going to do the delegate. Okay. So, we're going to stay with the delegations and then bring the report. We'll call upon Ian Sinclair. Again, the resident to approach the podium to provide concerning staff report 2017-126, land sale bylaw.
Thank you. The delegation is in the hope that council would consider retaining the disposition and disposal of road allowances to itself and not delegate that to staff. And the reason for that is a number of the road allowances have uses, particularly on the west side of Caledon, to deal with the terrain of the Niagara Escarpment are all used as trails and recreation purposes. And some of them are used for hydro right-of-ways. Then in some of the villages, for example, the village plans are a lot were dated in the 1880s without any regard to terrain. So they just simply got a square and started drawing lines on the map. So on Alton, there's the unusual feature of having a couple of dead-end roads running north off Queen Street are all flooded and underwater in the mill pond for the Alton Mill. Whereas there's a unimproved section of Amelia Street through around to Main, which is there, and in and of itself is unimportant, unless you need to repair the bridge over the Shaw's Creek, in which case you need to use that road right away to connect to houses and also to the Alton Mill. So some of these are real sleepers, and most of the time they just sit there. In Bell Fountain, there's a whole road grid inside of Max Park, the conservation area, and we worked on that at least 18 years ago. And I don't know if the transfer to the Conservation Authority of the road allowances has ever really occurred, but that is an example of a road that we really have no use for and should be transferred. And in Caledon Village, there's several lanes in the southwest quadrant of the old village that may not have any purpose. On concession roads, there's a number of them. I think Boston Mills right away west of Mississauga Road goes into the escarpment, and there's parts of that that are unimproved. I think Heritage north of King is quite passable, but dead ends in terms of car traffic and turns into a rough trail. Third line right away north of Grange into the Forks Park, all the way over the cliff and across the river is part of the Bruce Trail. Second line west from McLaren south towards the old base is the Quarry Roads, and an important recreational resource, and certainly still accessible by DeForest Brothers Quarry. Second line west north of Charleston to Porterfield at Beech Grove could become a major route for servicing in the future. And I point out that the Caledon Trailway is in fact a form of allowance for infrastructure from a railway. It's 66 feet all the way, and it's been used as an important servicing route for water from Fort Inglewood, from Highway 10 across to the village, and here in Caledon East as a sewer route for part of Caledon East. And there's a big cost saving to take direct routes between villages and not dig up roads and putting these sewers in on public roads when you can put it on a trailway. Bruce Trail uses 10 side road from Willoughby to McLaren and Puckering Lane west of McLaren. In terms of Puckering Lane, there's an individual that has acquired lands almost entirely on both sides of Puckering Lane for about a mile and a half to the west. And the rumor around that neighborhood is he wants to buy up the road. Well, that had shut down the Bruce Trail permanently. And then there's 25 side road east of Heart Lake, way up in the top end of Ward 1, and 20 side road Beech Grove from 136 to Shaw's Creek. So there's a whole bunch of them up there that are have real importance. And I think the Ward 4 councillors might be able to pick out some more that are over in in former Albion. So I find these uses are there now, and you should always think long term. So one way or the other, the road allowances will be there in the future, 100 years from now, and there may be entirely different dynamics then. So it would be really a poor service to simply dump them off in any arbitrary way. So there's lots of abutting some of these road allowances, and there may be opportunities for agency transfer, say, to the Conservation Authority. So that's basically my message to you, that delegate small pieces of land to staff, of course. It's expedient, and we did do an inventory years ago, and there's all kinds of little slivers and bits and pieces of land all over the place. And abutting landowners might prefer to own those because they're maintaining them anyway. But the road allowances are a different kettle of fish, so that's my request to council.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will now call upon Kathleen Wilson, resident of Caledon, to approach the podium and provide a delegation concerning staff report 2017-126, land sale bylaw.
I'll be brief, as Ian covered a lot of it, but one of the understanding from my point of view in my neighborhood, one of the unused road allowances is one of the Oak Ridges Marine Trail that runs through that. It uses that. If that was to be sold, unbeknownst to me, the Brock Pit could quadruple in size overnight, right? Because those would be the people that would sell it. So the town of Caledon is right now in the process of updating their official plan. I would ask for a stay on this bylaw until we actually had, as Ian said, an up-to-date inventory, because I couldn't even understand what the scope and magnitude of this bylaw would mean from a financial benefit to the town or residents. And also with the town's official plan, with all this new development going forth, I think we need to have a better idea of what Caledon's going to look like in the next 25 years instead of selling off little bits and pieces here and there. Possibly, I know in my neighborhood, my neighbors would be up in arms with the pit quadrupling in size overnight, because they would be probably the first people at the table to buy that road allowance. So I guess, I don't know if you can answer this question, but I still can't remember when the town's official plan is going to be complete. There was an open house about it, but I would ask for this bylaw, to stay until the official plan is updated, and then there's an updated inventory of surface lands, so the residents could have a better idea of the magnitude of the impact of this bylaw. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Ms. Tollett, when's the next official plan review going to be?
So through you, Mayor Thompson, the official plan review, it just began. It will have the report went, I believe, in October for the initial kickoff. We have until 2022 to finish it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I will now call upon Tony Rosa, resident of the town of Caledon, to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning staff report 2017-138, proposed 2018 budget. And as you know, you have 10 minutes to your procedural bylaw.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks once again for allowing me the opportunity to delegate this evening. With regards to the budget for the 2018 proposed budget, on behalf of the arts groups across Caledon, obviously we were disappointed to see that there was no funding allotted at this time for potential arts center for Caledon. So my delegation tonight is not to focus on that, that there were no funds at this time, because to be honest, I wasn't surprised to see that, because I'm going to take a few steps back now and bring you back to a conversation that I had with consultants during your visioning exercise for recreation, going back almost 3 years ago. And at that time, those consultants had challenged me that if I was going to come forward to the town on behalf of the arts groups to propose something for the town of Caledon, that we had to think completely outside of the box about how this was going to be funded, because the traditional way of doing this, which would have been to build it from scratch and to put it on the books and on the backs of the taxpayers, was going to be very difficult in today's day and age, and especially the size of the town and the available funds that we have here in Caledon. So my efforts over the last 3 years was to find a way of bringing this to the town in a completely different way. What I'm here to ask tonight is the opportunity to come back to you in early April. I'll need about 3 months or so to rework the proposal. This proposal that I'm going to bring forward in April will include a very unique partnership opportunity with some businesses in Caledon, as well as non-for-profit organizations who are willing to come together to work with the town of Caledon to bring this to life. I've been approached once again by the Nicolini family of Sonicor Incorporated, and they have had several conversations with me even as far back as 3 years ago about the willingness of wanting to partner in this art center, something they believe truly in, and their company and their family would be willing to sit down with me and look at a partnership opportunity where they would be willing to participate in some of the building of this required space. I've also had conversations with some other partners in town, and we would like the opportunity to put together a proposal that would highlight what a partnership would look like, what it would be, what the responsibility of each of the partners would be. And I'd like an opportunity to come back to you in April to make you take a look at what this outside of the box thinking is really like. Okay, because I think what we need to do at this point is I'm not prepared to put the 3 years of work on the back burner. What I'm prepared to do is to take a look at all the data that was collected, to take a look at all the work that was done up until now, and to bring you a real example of how we can bring this to Caledon. But in order to do that, in order for me to enter conversations with these partners, in order for them to take me seriously, my board of directors at Stage Academy seriously, I'm going to need that permission. So I'm bringing forward a motion tonight saying that you guys got to give me the opportunity to go out and do this work. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to give up my time to meet with everyone. I'm happy to develop the proposal, the actual presentation, and come back to you with it in partnership with my board of directors from Stage Academy. And we'd like to put it all together, and I'd like the opportunity to speak to that. But I need the time to do so. But I would also like to go to them and say, look, I want to delegate. I presented this position. I put forward a motion. And town council says, yeah, you know what? Sounds good. Go out there and do this work so that they can take me seriously as well. This can't only be my voice. It needs to be a team approach. And in order to get these people to the table and for us to come put our heads together and to bring forward what we feel will be a real achievable goal for Caledon, I'm looking for your support tonight to allow me in the next 90 days or so to prepare this proposal. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Gross.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rosa, for coming in yet again and for being so committed to this project. I do have a motion coming forward at some point, and so you might want to stay for that. I'm not sure at what point it'll be brought forward, but it will be coming forward.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Mr. Rosa, for your passionate and continued and ongoing passion towards this initiative. The question I have is, and I remember looking at the report when it came to council and the number of arts groups that participated, yours among them, and the number of arts groups that would hopefully be able to use collectively mm-hmm. such a facility. I've been a very strong advocate of the more users, the more opportunity for success. Mm-hmm. So to that point, my question is, will you be consulting with staff? Because there is that input about, and I know that you very much specialize in the performing arts, but the other forms of arts, whether it's painting or sculpting or dance or any of the others.
Absolutely.
Would you be consulting with staff to make sure that, and again, I don't want you to go out over the next 3 months and have it not being the fulsome type of facility that the community would mm-hmm. be expecting.
Mr. Bezzapelli, thank you for your question. When I first approached Town Council back 3 years ago, the idea was to check off all the boxes for all the arts groups and all the different art forms. That was the original plan. I was directed on many occasions to scale that back in order to bring this to reality. I was asked to scale it back. So that's what I did. This is actually going to be a lot simpler than I thought it was going to be, because I'm going to go back to the work that was originally done 3 years ago, because the partnership that I'm going to bring forward is to bring forward an establishment or an actual facility that will check off all those boxes. Because I'm here to advocate for performing arts, but I'm a huge believer in all the arts. As a former department head of the arts in a local high school, and for someone who spent my entire life in training in the arts, I feel that there's an incredible marriage between dance, drama, visual arts, media arts, culinary arts, theater arts. They all kind of work together, and I think there needs to be balance. And I think at this point, bringing the entire community together and creating a center that would address all of the arts forms is the way to go. That was my goal from day one. Because the more you do that, the more you establish the culture and the arts in the community, and the more you can share that with the community. So I would like to leave no art form behind in the next proposal. I'm not going to come to you with something that's been scaled back. I'm coming to you with something that is going to have all boxes checked off. That's my goal.
Okay, thank you. And certainly I didn't mean to leave out the arts groups too, and I know that you'll be consulting with them as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, I have no further questions, Mr.
Thank you very much, Mayor Thompson.
Okay, now we'll move on to committee recommendations. Moved by Councillor Bafford, second by Councillor Downey, that the November 14th, 2017 General Committee report be received. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Ennis, second by Councillor DeBoer, that November 20th, 2017 Golf Tournament Committee recommendation following items be adopted. Committee Report 2017-23 regarding Council Committee Golf Tournament Financials. Selection of Chair for the 2018 Golf Tournament Committee. Selection of Vice Chair of the 2018 Golf Tournament Committee. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess we could ask for a recorded vote, because once again, I will not be supporting the golf tournament committee recommendations. So shall we do, we can do a recorded vote on that?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. I see Councillor Groves is on the...
Yeah, I know. I will get to her when... Thank you. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I, too, will not be supporting the recommendation. I expressed my concern at that meeting, and I will express it here again for the record. I think that we've all had an opportunity to chair and vice chair the golf tournament committee. Councillor Shaughnessy and Councillor Mazzapelli had not had that opportunity this term of council. Mayor Thompson, you mentioned that you did speak with Councillor Mazzapelli. You contacted Councillor Mazzapelli and provided him the opportunity on whether he wanted to chair or vice chair the committee. That same opportunity was not afforded to Councillor Shaughnessy, and I think that that is unfair. I don't think that that's that was right, and I don't think that that she had the equal opportunity. And so for that reason, I left that meeting, because I didn't think that it was right the way it was handled. I was prepared to bring a motion forward to ask that Councillor Shaughnessy be the chair of the golf tournament committee, but obviously you had a motion prepared that Councillor Downey be the chair. Councillor Downey was the vice chair of the tournament that just passed, and I just think that it would be fair to allow Councillor Shaughnessy. I did speak with her, and she did agree that she would agree to being the chair, and I think that you should have afforded her that same opportunity. So I don't think that fairness was applied here. So that's why I left the meeting, and that's why I could not support the selection of the chair. And so I won't be doing that here either, and I will be asking for a recorded vote.
Thank you, Councillor Groves. And for a point of clarification, the reason why I asked Councillor Misipelli is because he couldn't attend the meeting. Councillor Shaughnessy was attending the meeting. That's why I thought I should be fair to Councillor Misipelli when he was going to be absent. Two is, it isn't about the chair and the vice chair of the committee. What it's about is raising good funds to serve our community. It's about serving the community. It doesn't matter. To me, it isn't a big deal who chairs and vice chairs the committee. It's about doing the good work we do for our community. That's what it's all about. I will now pass. Oh, Councillor Bedford, sorry.
Thank you very much. I feel like I have to say something here. I've been part of this golf tournament for many years. We all know that we've raised $1 million for the community. The selection of the chair and the vice chair has always been the same. Names are put forward, names are seconded, and names are voted on. The same opportunity existed this time as any other time that I have been at this table. So I don't quite understand why someone would not accept it. It was all above board. It was all democratic. It was the way we have done it for many years, and I just simply had to say that.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
I, too, Councillor Bedford, have been a part of this golf tournament right from the very get-go. It was Councillor at the time, Wallace, who came up with the idea, and we all thought it was a great idea, and certainly we've raised a lot of money to support a lot of local charities and causes in the community. And to your point, Mayor Thompson, this is not about whether we're raising a ton of money or we're supporting these charities. I fully support that. I was part of the original concept, and I certainly support that. I just had a problem because I disagree. I don't think that it was democratic the way we handled it. And I think that Councillor Shaughnessy expressed the interest of having an opportunity to chair it. So I don't think that it was democratic, and I don't think that it was fair. So that's my comment.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I guess I better say something now. I have to say thank you to Councillor Groves. I think we could do a better job on how we elect. If we went and elected our Walk of Fame the way we elected our chairs here, only one person's name would get forward and it would get voted on. We, in every action we do with appointing members on whatever committee, all the names come forward and they get voted on. That is not what happened at this meeting. It was biased. There was no equity. And that, too, is why I stood up and I left the meeting and we broke quorum. And Councillor Innes had to be found somewhere in the building to come in and fill in for us. So, but I just want to thank Councillor Groves for making a point of it. And I hope in the future that when we go to elect chairs and vice chairs, that we do the same consideration as we do with every other committee here at the Town of Caledon, where it is a democratic process, where names are brought forward and then voted on. If I hadn't been voted in, that would have been fine, but it was really quite a slam dunk and not appropriate. Thank you.
Okay. No further questions. I will now call on the clerk to call the vote.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been requested, so all those in favor, please stand. See that Councillor Mazzapelli, Councillor Innes, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Bedford, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer in favor, those opposed, Councillor Shaughnessy, and Councillor Groves. The motion carries.
Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure, that November 28th, 2017 General Committee Report recommendations regarding the following consent items be adopted. Council Report 2017-132 regarding the 2018 interim tax levy. Staff Report 2017-143 regarding 2018 interim borrowing. Staff Report 2017-147 regarding Sleepy Meadow Drive fence petition. Staff report 2017-140 regarding standardization of electric cars. Staff report 2017-144, impact analysis regarding town's approach to cemeteries. Staff report 2017-152 regarding single source telephone system. Adoption of accessibility award and enforcing illegal transportation depots. No questions? All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Downey, that November 28th, 2017 General Committee Report recommendation regarding consent items be adopted. Business Retention Expansion Task Force. All in favor? Oh, sorry. Councillor Mizzapelli, my fault.
That's okay, Mayor Thompson. I will apologize to Councillor Shaughnessy. When this came to committee, I did read staff's response to in a memo regarding this, and I thought it would have been held in committee. It wasn't, so it was on our consent agenda. So I offer my apologies for that. I just will say, though, looking at the when this first came before us, the discussion we had, and looking at staff's memorandum, I see that the work the staff are doing in streamlining processes, taking the recommendations of the business retention task force and implementing them, it will take time. And so for that reason, I will not be supporting the motion, but I do want to offer my apologies because I would have buzzed in a committee and that didn't happen. Thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. Okay, so the point of this motion was, and it was pulled out because I was sick and I couldn't stay. I'd had shoulder surgery, so it got delayed. But the point was that we have people that we go out to the community, we ask them to be on a task force, and then the reports don't come back to council. And they don't come. That task force was created in, I think, July and August 2015. And nothing came back. And when we had the mayor's lunch, which was actually quite lovely at the Calvin Golf Club, up on the screen popped this business retention study. And the people next to me said, "Have you ever seen that?" And I said, "No, I'd never seen it." And turned out it had never come back to council. And the terms of reference said that, and it's disappointing for the people who get on these committees, because they're expecting that that information is going to come back to council, that we're going to hear it, read it, absorb it, and react. But it didn't come to council. So I did the motion when I realized that it never come to council to make sure it made its way here to honor those people who had devoted a lot of their time towards helping to develop the business retention. I still think it's valid, or at least parts of it are valid, from the perspective that the number two item from that committee had to do with the difficulties in building and planning, the length of time, and there wasn't anything streamlined to help small businesses. And so that motion still speaks to that. And I think it's worthy of being passed by council and having staff do the work to make sure that our small businesses understand that we want to streamline those processes when it comes to building, because it's the number one complaint I get. No, actually, probably traffic and roads, number three complaint, I correct myself. So I still think it's valid. And I think we should move ahead with it. And I'm happy to ask for a recorded vote.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called. All those in favor, please stand. Councillor Shaughnessy and Councillor Groves are in favor. Those opposed, please stand. Councillor Mezzapelli, Councillor Innes, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey and Councillor DeBoer, the motion fails.
Councillor DeBoer, and moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor McClure, that November 28th, 2017 General Committee Report Recommendation regarding the following consent items be adopted. Sports Hall of Fame and Memorial Arena Program. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Actually, my voice is getting better the more I talk. Okay, so I wanted to speak to the Sports Hall of Fame. I want to say thank you. I don't know the gentleman, but thank you to Doug Mescal, I think is his name, because he highlighted recently in the newspaper about needing a Sports Hall of Fame. Also, my resident, Lou Cause, who is actually a Sports Hall of Famer, he lives behind me, supports the idea. What I don't support is that this motion comes from 2010, and a lot of things have changed. One, we have a process for naming rights. Two, we have we have a tourism and culture component here at the Town of Caledon now. And we also have partnership opportunities. And the trouble with this particular motion is that it was done in 2010 and so much has changed. Everything's evolved. And we have to come up to date. So I support, and who says the arena is the best place? Maybe it is part of a culture, a cultural hub, because we're not just talking about something having to do with skating. We're equestrian, we're tennis, we're baseball. We've got lots of elements having to do with possible Sports Hall of Fame. So I would like to see this motion be amended. And if I could briefly work with the clerk, I'm happy to, because I still believe in it. I just don't believe in all the elements that presently sit in something that is so out of date.
Okay, I'm going to call for a
five-minute. I'm sorry, my mouth, I'm just late.
I got to call a five-minute recess to get this with your amendment. Order, moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Groves, that the following words be added after Memorial Arena Program or Cultural Hub Opportunity and report back to Council by the end of March 2018. So normally I clear the board, but Councillor DeBoer, if you want to comment on that. On the amendment. Yeah, on the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm really not sure. I guess maybe a question to the mover, but the cultural hub opportunity, I think it would kind of make it broader than what we were really looking for, what in staff we were talking about, because we're looking at phase three, and it may not be here in Caledon East, but phase three, we're going to start the work, if it's approved in the budget, to look at what phase three, phase four here in Caledon East against the arena looks like. And I don't know if the cultural hub opportunity is going to really add to it, or whether it's going to change the focus of what we wanted to do here. And the intent was is to look at a way to identify, and staff are willing to work on plans used in other communities to look at ways to identify recognize individuals that have contributed to sports life in Caledon in a way different than naming an arena after one individual, because we've got many, many people in Caledon that have acted or that have helped further the cause as far as sports in Caledon, and to identify just one individual on an arena and nothing for Mr. Sheardown or Mr. Wilson on the two arenas that have been named after them, because both of them were very deserving individuals within our community. But I wanted to be able to recognize more individuals.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I'm happy to speak to it. Why I wanted the idea of a cultural hub in there was that I think the motion was far too limiting. We need to look at a broader base. So are we creating a Sports Hall of Fame just to appeal to those who are going to the arena and look at whatever's there, or are we looking at as an opportunity for tourism and culture. If that's the case, it would sort of be like me saying, because I'm an equestrian, I want it at Caledon Equestrian Park, when that's really only the equestrians. So I think it's much broader, and I think the concept is excellent. But I think also we can't limit it to an arena in Caledon East. As a matter of fact, I would start working on it now. I would start working on gathering the items before they're lost and create an archive of those. But I'm not going to tell staff that that's exactly where it has to be. So I'm throwing out the idea that it could be part of a cultural hub, a tourism opportunity. And the reason I put March 2018 is because the original motion was 2010 and had no time for staff. It didn't have a time for staff to report back. And that, as a counselor, those that get lost. And it's much easier to follow up with if we know it's going to happen. March 2018, it came back from staff. That's not my decision. That just came back from staff. So thank you, Carrie, for asking them. I think we have to just be a little bit broader. So that's why I'm just throwing that in to say, okay, staff, let's look at it more holistically instead of being so narrow. That's all I was saying. Thank you.
Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. My only thing that I want to point out to members of council is not only does this motion speak to the fact that the Caledon East Community Complex facility, but the Caledon East Community Complex facility is actually a community hub in this village. It's part of this town hall campus. It is the center of the town of Caledon. It's where people come to do their business with the town hall. It's where they come to have recreational opportunities, and it's not just skating. There are tons of programs and activities that are run next door. There's summer camps that are run next door. There are service clubs that hold their meetings next door. So I get where Councillor Shaughnessy is coming from, where she's saying she wants to also look at a cultural hub. This is a community hub. And so I'm saying that moving forward, I support the motion and its intention. I can't support rewording it and reworking it in this fashion, because I think that this is a central location. It is a community hub. And I think that it is an opportunity to reflect and to support our sports our sports people in our community that deserve recognition, because we do have quite a lot. And just recognizing them on our Walk of Fame is not always possible, because we do have many that have very significant achievements throughout not only our province but also our country. You know, we have people that are actually competing on our bobsledding that came from Caledon that are competing in the world right now. So we should be supporting that and embracing that. And I think that having a place that is a community hub that is going to have a lot of traffic is the right way to go about doing that.
Councillor DeBoer. Thanks, Councillor Innes.
Thanks. We are still supposed to be talking about the amendment, I guess, rather than just the intent of the real motion, but it is kind of integral in the discussion, and that was that the focus and the intent was to deal with the facility next door. To use Councillor Shaughnessy's example, if staff were allowed the opportunity, and in conversations with staff, there are already examples that exist within other communities where they do this sort of thing, and using a public facility to identify and to recognize contributions of individuals that essentially relate to the facility. To use the Equestrian Park as an example, if we have this kind of a concept, we could apply the same concept to the Equestrian Park and make it an equestrian-focused memorial as far as the indoor riding facility, if I just think of out loud as to how it would work, or the facility that's there. So the intent here was more to focus on an idea of how we can recognize individuals separate from one individual per arena, how we can recognize a number of individuals that have contributed to sports life in Caledon, and also get an update on staff, because they have had the resolution with regards to Sports Hall of Fame. I think that they have been doing a little bit of a work on it, knowing that what was going on in the past next door, and they were going to be bringing up an update on that part of it separate from it, and whether Whether that's Caledon East or not, I don't know, because staff are going to bring an update as part of this resolution, an update about that one as well. So, thanks.
Councillor Groves.
I always thought Bolton was the center of the universe, but I think we created a hub in Bolton many, many years ago, and certainly we've had a lot of people contribute to many, many things in Bolton. And so, I mean, I don't want to speak to Councillor DeBoer's motion because we're speaking to the amendment, but I think we sort of captured everything there. My question to staff is, when you go back to investigate and look at different things and different ideas and bring it back, would you be looking at not just sports, but you'd be looking at cultural as well?
Ms. Tullett?
Through Mayor Thompson, so the original intent was to just look at what other area municipalities are doing with the range to Sports Hall of Fame. So it depends if this passes or not, then we'll have to look into that.
Okay, so I guess the reason is because, well, sports and culture always, they kind of go hand in hand. I think the minister is Minister of Sports and Culture. So they sort of connect somehow and they put them together and recognize them both. So, and culture is a huge part of our community as well. So I don't know. We'll see, I guess, how the amendment...
You're done?
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to now call the vote. All in favor? All in favor of the amendment, sorry. All in favor? Opposed? Fails. Okay. We're back to the original moment. Original motion. Okay, no further questions on the original motion. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Downey, that November 28, 2017 General Committee report recommendations regarding the following items be adopted. Staff report 2017-142 regarding 2017 school green fund, 2017-117 regarding the proposed changes to the parking pass policy. Staff report 2017-130 regarding the naming of park facility 136 Kingsview Park Drive, Bolton. Accessibility Advisory Committee date, a report dated October 26, 2017. Request of the greater oversight of licensed cannabis operations. Update agreement in Albion and Bolton Agriculture Society. Request to present from Credit Valley Conservation Authority and the Peel Poverty Action Group. Confidential staff report 2018-28 regarding the proposed disposition of land, the municipality or local board, lease agreement between Bright Scholars Academy Incorporated and the Town of Caledon for space of the new community center located in Southfields. Any questions? None. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor DeBoer. November 28, 2017, General Committee report recommendation regarding staff report 2017-131 regarding the recommendation and regulations of keeping residential hens. Okay, we've got some questions. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I was looking to see whether somebody was here. Okay, so I was approached by a father of an ex-firefighter and concerned about the chickens as far as electrical. I'll tell you what happened, and I'm not sure how long ago it was, but I'm recent history, where somebody put the chicken coop, because it was wintertime, close to the house, and they had an electrical source to heat it. And the chicken coop caught on fire and started to burn the house. And they did save the house. It didn't go up in flames. I'm told the siding melted. So I know fire sits in at SMT, but nobody came forward to speak to a fire hazard. Because we don't license them, we're just going to let them go up wherever the heck they want. And that means that somebody will just do electrical and do whatever the heck they want. So I'm concerned about fire safety. So that's one thing. And the other one, and this might be more of a legal question, because I just got on my phone, I think, last week, that the town of Caledon had appealed a committee of adjustment decision on chickens and trucks on a property. And the chickens were, I think, for like 14 chickens on 1.9 acres. And the trucks. Now, they, from what I understand, they appealed the whole decision, not part of the decision. So I'm going, by doing this, are we affecting an OMB, up-and-coming OMB case? I'd just like some clarity.
Okay. Ms. Tullett?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I'll just speak to the fire
electrical issue.
Yeah,
you
can speak to the community adjustment. So I did speak to the fire chief about the backyard hens if he had any concerns, and he replied to me that he had no concerns about it.
No, that's fair. I'm just saying he is a new fire chief, and he probably wasn't aware, and it was actually the father of a firefighter who got a hold of me. So I'm throwing it out there just because it's all about risk management and how things are going to get looked after. And I guess our lawyer might be able to answer the other question.
I'm going to ask Mr. Stravakis for the next question.
Through Mayor Thompson to Councillor Shaughnessy, the appeal, there were multiple minor variances sought with respect to that application and appeals with respect to the truck component, not the chickens.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I knew you'd have the right answer. I appreciate it. So, there's other people. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Groves. I'm getting you two mixed up tonight.
thank you. There were a number of comments raised by members in my community, and I said this before throughout this whole debate on this matter. Most of the people that I've spoken with in my community does not support having chickens in their backyards. There are a number of issues and concerns that they raised. We already have a whole bunch of problems with neighbors. I mean, our backyards in Bolton are not that big, so people see this as problematic. On properties that are larger in the rural areas, I guess it's fine. And hopefully the regulations that are going to be imposed, people are going to follow those regulations and adhere to them. It'd be interesting to see how many people do and what it would cost in staff's time to enforce this. And again, we have a lot of bylaws that we put in place, and the problem is this: we never have enough enforcement. So, you know, and I'm just curious to know what we've spent to date. I mean, we've spent a lot of hours on this. We've spent a lot of staff time on this. We've gone out to the public on this. And I'm just curious, and maybe somebody can answer that question, Mr. Mayor, what we've spent to date on this issue.
I'm going to pass it over to the clerk.
Thank you, Your Worship, to Councillor Groves. Unfortunately, at this time, we have, of course, spend a significant amount of time doing some policy work and looking into this, as this matter has been brought to council a number of times. But I do not have something actually in front of me tonight with those figures.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, then Councillor Groves. Councillor McClure.
Yeah, I just think we've talked about this too much. This is a disease problem. It's an avian flu problem. As a chicken farmer, my family raises chickens, and this is a threat to our livelihood. It's going to be a rodent problem. There's going to be a smell problem. If I was to make a chicken barn, they have to be 500 meters from the road, 500 meters from a neighbor's property, and they can do it 2 meters from the neighbor's property. This is ridiculous. Is there going to be any inspection? Is the Department of Health going to come out? I got the Department of Health checking our chicken barn, and we're good chicken farmers all the time, and there's going to be no inspection. This is disastrous as far as I'm concerned.
Madam Clerk. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. Just on the comment of cost, we've currently got a bylaw that prohibits chickens, and there's probably an enforcement issue when it's based on complaints. And I don't think that by allowing a few chickens for those individuals that want to have a few chickens for their backyard and for some eggs, it's going to increase the workload for staff because they're already having to deal with the fact that we don't permit them, which many communities around us, for example, Brampton and even the City of Toronto, has permitted backyard chickens. Staff or our council is going to have a chance to look at it if there are any large number of complaints to review and make sure that it is playing out the way that we think it should. So I don't have a problem in supporting where we're going with this one.
Councillor Misapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I will be supporting the report. And to the point of how much work we've been doing on this, a lot of that has to do with council putting it back and forth. And when I look at the facts around this, and I'm going by memory, so I could be off, but I think there was 6 to 8 complaints over a number of years. It's not a big complaint issue. So from an enforcement complaint perspective, it's not going to be large. I don't imagine there's going to be massive uptake because all of a sudden it's permitted. There's a lot of regulation in the bylaw that speaks to making sure that it is kept clean and that type of thing. Councillor McClure, I'm speaking. And so I think, you know, we've consulted with a number of other organizations, including health, and have, in my opinion, or to my satisfaction, addressed all the concerns. And I think we are, as Councillor McClure says a lot, talking too long about this. And I think that staff have done a great job of putting together a policy. And I can say from what I've heard from my community, I've had only a few people contact me, and they were all in support. So I know that much more urban communities than ours have done this successfully. So I am not concerned about the lot size, considering the great regulation and policy staff have put into place. And Mayor Thompson, I know that there's other speakers, but I'd like to ask for a recorded vote.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I just want to clarify a couple of things. Toronto has it on a 3-year pilot program. It's not a done deal. Just want to clarify that. And two, I think it is 12 complaints, but I could be wrong, but it's all been odor. All odor. I will agree with Councillor Misapelli that I don't think there's going to be a lot of uptake. But when it comes to regulation, we're not going to regulate it. So, you know what, let's move on, and we can do a recorded vote, and I'm quite happy to not support it. I would have been happy to support it, had some of the suggestions. I think I had like 6 of them last time, and they were all voted down, and just trying to make it better for the neighbors. But if there's somebody else that would like to speak, but yes, I'm quite happy to have a recorded vote also. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Gross.
I am concerned about the lot size, and I said this last time in the new provincial policy, the growth plan is calling for much denser communities and much denser than what we currently have. So, yes, I'm concerned about lot sizes. We don't even have – people don't even have places to park. They're parking on the lawn. They're parking wherever. So they can't even get their lawnmowers into the backyard very well, I know in my community. So I will tell you, with the new growth plan and the denser communities, yeah, I'm concerned about those lot sizes.
I think personally, Councillor Groves, the setbacks will eliminate those with the density. But anyway, I will now move it over to the clerk for the recorded vote.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote's been requested, so all those in favor, please stand. So Councillor Misapelli, Councillor Innes, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, those opposed. Start this side, Councillor Groves, Councillor McClure, Councillor Shaughnessy, the motion passes.
Sorry. Moved by Councillor Befford, second by Councillor Dubois, that the November 28, 2017 General Committee Report recommendation regarding the following item be adopted. Staff Report 2017-91 regarding 2018 municipal elections related matters. Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I do have an amendment with the clerk and requesting that we remove the last paragraph because the question on the ballot can actually be reviewed up until May 31st. So just to eliminate that opportunity so council can decide to waive that opportunity in May when that time lapse expires instead of doing it now.
Okay. All right. So I have an amendment in place. Can we have it on this? I'll read it. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Municipality, that the paragraph 3 be deleted. And so paragraph 3, if everybody looks up, you can see is the that the question ballot be not considered. No. Which one is it? Yeah, it does not be considered for the 2018 municipal election. Okay. So any comments on that? So Councillor Groves?
Thank you. My question then is this coming back after, what was that date, May 31st? Is it coming back?
Madam Clerk?
Through the Mayor to Councillor Groves. I don't think it will be unless council requests through a notice of motion. I think at that time it's really in council's hands. You are aware of the provision that members of council have up to May 2018 to request a question on the ballot, so I will leave it in council's hands if they are interested to bring that forward. There's many tools in order to do that.
Okay. And at the general committee meeting, I did say that I did not support not having a question on the ballot. I think that the the MEA? The MEA does permit it, and I'm not sure why we weren't going to permit it. I think it's a democratic process, and I understood the clerk. I certainly understand. I mean, I know that we would put the ballot, the question, but some of our constituents have some questions or concerns, and they come to us to put questions on the ballot for a referendum. So anyway, I will support this because we're deleting it. If it's coming back to us to recommend it in May, I certainly wouldn't be supporting it.
Okay. All right, Councillor Misapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I just wanted to make the note, if I'm sure Council is aware, but there is a memorandum on this item from staff, and they basically reflected on the conversation that we had regarding this issue at committee. And it was their recommendation to remove it. So that doesn't preclude us from having a question on the next election. So that is the reason for the removal. And if there is anything that comes up between now and then that is cause for a question to be posted on the ballot, that could be done with this removal. So staff have listened and made a recommendation, which we have before us, which I think makes good sense. Thanks.
Okay. No further questions. I will call the vote. All in favor? Carried. Now back to the original motion. Is there any questions? If not, I will call the vote. All in favor of the motion as amended. Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that the November 28th, 2017 General Committee Report recommendation regarding the following item be adopted. Staff Report 2013-73 regarding corporate policy on vicious, frivolous, and unreasonable requests and complaints. Councillor Groves.
Just a correction, it's 2017-73, not 13. And I'm putting a referral on the floor.
Yep.
Mr. Sinclair raised a number of really good points, and so did Ms. Wilson. And I am going to ask that it be referred and come back. Some of the points that Mr. Sinclair raised were financial implications. We don't see anything in there. A difference between a request and a complaint. There's nothing about response time in it. And also a warning should be included and maybe a visit from the OPP. So I think those are very valid points in asking this to go back and having staff taking a look at it. I know that many of residents contacted me and they were quite concerned about it. They saw this as very confrontational. I did have a conversation with one gentleman yesterday, and he spoke about the policy that the region appeal passed, and he compared our policy and the region's policy, and he said the region's policy was not as harsh. He saw this policy as very, very harsh. And I know that Councillor Innes pointed out last time that I supported the policy at the region, and I certainly had no problems in supporting that because I had no concerns raised by anyone in the community when that came forward. And most of what the region does, they do broad policy. They look after broad policies, and which really is not an impact on people's day-to-day lives or their livelihood as it is here. Ms. Wilson raised a concern about the pit and other things, and sometimes residents are not satisfied with the answer that they're getting and they continue to pursue matters. So the things that we do here and the policies and the bylaws that we pass here, it does have an impact on people's day-to-day lives and on their livelihood. So I'm putting the referral on the motion, the motion of referral on the floor, that staff come back to us.
Okay, I need a seconder. Councillor DeBoer, thank you. All right, I will now. Okay, so the staff is moved by Councillor Grove, second by Councillor DeBoer. Staff report 2017-73, fictitious. Frivolous and unreasonable requests with complaints policy to be referred back to staff for further analysis and report back. And so everybody that's on the board must speak to the amendment. If not, I'll pick you up the next time. So Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I support the motion for it to be referred back to staff. The delegates made a number of really important implications of this report. I mean, I wrote a half a page on Mr. Sinclair about balancing and waiting staff, et cetera, responses as opposed to answers, limiting access to town facilities, what is reasonable and what is considered unreasonable. And that's a judgment call. And I don't know who I want to make that judgment call. But I will say what happened at committee. I said my problem was that we weren't even, as councillors, weren't even considered in this. Like, come and talk to us because we know our residents best. So being left out of the decision-making process again irritated me as a councillor who advocates for her residents. So he made a lot of great. I won't go on because there's a number of other people up here, but I'll come back if need be. But I definitely support the referral back, and I'm happy to work with staff. And I think maybe staff should chat with the various councillors in each ward to understand some of the concerns, because dealing with hot potatoes like aggregate. And I certainly have advocated for a number of residents, not in my own ward, and have been extremely frustrated at responses I've got. So I understand residents that get frustrated and upset, because I certainly have been too. So I do support the referral back to staff. I think we need to do a better job. Thank you.
Councillor Befford.
Thank you very much. I will support the referral. And I appreciate last week when we talked about this, I remember saying that I felt that there was a lot of negativity in what was being presented. And at this point, I think if you really look at the report, if you look from page 7 of 9 to 8 of 9, there's 3 points that basically are what this is all about. And it gives the process. It basically says that if a staff member has a concern, they go to the manager, they work through this. It's only a half a page long. And at the end, the manager and the person going to the manager classify a request as whatever and determine the restrictions. And that's the way it should be. So I think if we take a look at that, and I think the other point I want to make clear from what Mr. Sakler mentioned was that counselors, use of and response by. There are times when we can go to our local residents and say, you know what, it's time you gave this one up because you're pushing too hard. You've been told nicely that it won't work, and they keep going. So we can help with that. So I think I'd like to see that as part of it. I'd like to see, first of all, the entire package brought down to a reasonable amount. We all have issues. And I think in this particular case, if we look at that page 7 and 8 of 9, we can get it down to one page, and we can also say who's going to be included, and we can make it work.
Okay. Councillor Ennis. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Those that were here at committee knew that I spoke passionately about this issue because as a former staff member, I have intimate knowledge about some of the issues that our staff deal with on a day-to-day, sometimes yearly, sometimes multi-year issues with our residents. So, I thank Mr. St. Clair and Ms. Wilson for coming to delegate today and to bringing forward their concerns and their issues. And I can assure Ms. Wilson that your request and your interest in some of the issues around you and your neighbors would not follow under this policy. That's not what it's intended for. So I do support it. However, I'm more than happy to support the referral so that staff can take the time to fully answer and address the concerns brought forward by our residents. And I want to say to staff that this referral does not mean that we don't support you and that we don't support a healthy and most importantly a safe work environment. I know myself, I have been in a very unsafe situation when I was an employee here at the town where our police officers did actually get hurt. And I think that if we had had a policy in place that was similar to this, that it could have prevented some of those situations, and in particular could have prevented that one where officers did sustain injuries. So I support staff. I support the reasons why we're bringing it forward. There's a lot of issues that are not public information. And when we're dealing with residents' concerns, it is private and it is confidential. But I think that there is an opportunity for staff to bring back some examples, and if it requires an in-camera discussion so that all members of council can understand what some of the issues are that our staff are dealing with and the extremes. This is not a resident who complains about their pothole a few times, or a resident that complains about their road not being repaved, or a resident that complains about an aggregate pit. That's not what this issue is for by any means. These are issues that are quite serious for our staff, and they do eat up a lot of staff resources and time. So I want to say to staff, this does not mean this referral that we aren't supporting you in this opportunity. We are, but I think that it is important that we address some of the concerns that are brought forward by our residents. So I will be supporting the referral at this point in time and look forward to that information coming back.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I will say I was fully prepared to support the report as is. I did hear from the delegates of their concern, and I did look at a lot of the comments on social media, on an online petition, and there was, it was put out there that you ask a question, you'll be banned from a facility. That is categorically not what this is. And I would certainly hope that nobody in the public is propagating that type of idea into the public, because that is not what it is. And when I read this report, the first emotion that came to me was, I can't believe that staff are feeling this way. And that is important to recognize from the public, certainly as a counselor. Nobody should be subject to that type of treatment that's described in this report. And I certainly, when this comes back, will stand up for not allowing that to be staff to be subject to that type of treatment. We do need to have a policy to address that adequately. I guess I want to reiterate what Councillor Innes said is I don't want staff to take this referral as not standing behind you. We do. And I know when this comes back, I will support it. I want to make a quick point about the issue with the region. If you look at the two policies, they are almost identical. So to state that it works at the region because it's a different policy is not true. It is almost identical. So that needs to be known. And I tried looking up the regional council on video. I couldn't get it because it was too old. It was April 27th of this year, if anybody wants to look at it. There was hardly any discussion. There was one question, I think, by Councillor Spovieri, and it passed quite easily. I know it was moved by Councillor Groves and seconded by Councillor Downey. And I don't know about the balance of council, but I presume, based on the lack of conversation, that it passed quite easily. And I will not subscribe to the notion that that's okay at the region appeal, but not here. There's some very, very serious issues that have to happen at the region appeal. Growth, planning, health. Those are serious issues our residents have. And so if it's okay to have that policy, the exact same policy, at the region appeal, and then not support it here, I have a real hard time understanding that inconsistency. So when this comes back, Mayor Thompson, I will be supporting it. I will be supporting staff. And if there's a little bit of clarity that has to be provided, that's fine. But the essence of what their policy is, I will support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Mezzapelli. Councillor Groves?
It's unfortunate Councillor Mezzapelli is having a hard time with inconsistencies. I think you need to read the policy a little more at the region, and you'll see it is not the same. Almost doesn't mean the same. So, and I stated my reasons for supporting it at the region, so I'm not going to do that again. We've had other members of council who supported policies at the region and didn't support it here at the local level. So I don't know, maybe you'd want to look at that, Councillor Mezzapelli, if you're looking at inconsistencies. I too would also just reiterate to our staff, this is in no way not in support of staff. Yes, we're concerned about staff, but we also need to be concerned about our residents. We're concerned about the way for staff safety. Well, we should be concerned about our residents actually getting the information they need. And I know I've got some residents who are having a really tough time in getting information. I've got folks who are a particular person who's banned from this facility, cannot come here, cannot enter on any municipal properties, and it's a concern. And who are we to determine the state of that individual or those individuals? So, and I don't think anyone is propagating anything about a total ban. People read this report, they saw it, they thought it was very harsh. So those are my comments. I stand by what I supported at the region for the reasons I stated here. And I had no concerns from any resident when that report came forward. When the report came forward here, I had a lot of phone calls and I had a lot of concerns from a lot of residents. So it is my duty to bring it here and to express their concerns here at this table. So asking for it to go back and having more information come forward, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I don't see any inconsistencies there.
Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. Well, I think there's a big difference between the region and the town of Caledon. I've had maybe one resident that's contacted the region appeal to go in and do something, whereas here at the town of Caledon, everything is local. Everything is much more passionate. You're much more in tune with your local government. You come here all the time. You go to recreational facilities. I don't have a lot of my residents going to the dump for the region appeal, but it's a big difference, Mr. Mezzapelli, because I can tell you I have a lot of clients, residents, still getting mixed up with my business stuff, apologies, residents who participate here at the town of Caledon with staff. You cannot compare the region to the town. The region has like 4,500 people or more. It's much more hands-off, whereas when everything comes down to the local level, we all get much more passionate about it. So there's a big difference. I did actually, it's not a recorded vote, I did support it at the region, but I don't support it here. And when we go to lobbying policies, which some councillors supported at the region, but did not support it here at the local level because they felt it was different. And I agree with Councillor Groves. I think it is very different, the participation level here at the town of Caledon as a councillor. Okay, now I'm running on. Are there other people? Yes, there are. So I'll shush up now. But I do support the referral, and I think we need to work on it just a little bit better. And I think I almost said Councillor Sinclair brought up a lot of really great points, as did Ms. Wilson, about the facilities being banned from facilities, and that drives me nuts. So I will support the referral.
Councillor DeBoer.
Yeah, I support the motion for referral. I second it here in the next motion. It's never hurts to have another look at it with some concerns from Mr. Sinclair. So, and maybe messaging has to come with it, as well as what does it really mean. I know where I interpreted and understood the bylaw and where we're going from. It is different in Caledon as opposed to the region appeal because we do deliver the services that the people actually receive. Other than the complaints that you get when your garbage doesn't get picked up like this week, and the regional roads, although they do a pretty good job there, if your water comes out of your tap, then everything's all hunky-dory. So whereas here we deliver all the services that you see every day, whether it's the building department, whether it's the planning, or whether it's public works and recreation and the library. So it never hurts to have another look at it and answer the other questions, and then maybe look at a communication piece to go with it so that we all fully understand what the intent of it was.
Councillor Mesapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I will be quick. I've seen both reports, so to make the notion that I haven't read them or understand them is false. The point I was trying to make, I understand that the issues that we deal with and vote at this level are much nearer to the public. I get that. But if you're going to take a philosophical approach on how to create a policy on how the public interacts with staff, that's a philosophical approach. And I would assume it would be the same on both levels. To make sure that, as it states in the policy or in the report, that staff are using their time effectively and they don't have to unnecessarily be subject to harassment or things of that nature. So that is certainly a philosophy that you would equitably apply regardless of what level of government. And one could even argue at the level where it is more on the ground level that is, people have more of a connection to, that there might even be more of a need to have it where, tempers can flare and things like that. So I just make the point that, I have seen both, and they are extremely similar. I didn't say they were the same. I said they were virtually the same.
Hold, guys.
So I would like to ask if it, Mayor Thompson, if it be given as direction as part of this referral that the glaring differences, and I'm being sarcastic, between the two policies be a part of that, because I don't believe they are. I believe they're very similar. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mesapelli. And also, I think coming back, I think it doesn't hurt to have a second look at it to make sure to get it right, and I'll support the referral as well. And also, I know one of the comments was made on the customer service side, and I know we've made huge changes, so maybe it wouldn't hurt to make a comment on what changes are there so the public knows what we're trying to do. So no further questions. I will now call the vote. All in favor of the referral? Recorded vote.
Thank you, Your Worship. Everyone's having a stretch break. A recorded vote's been called. So all those in favor, please stand. I see that everyone here is standing, so it's carried unanimously.
Moved by Councillor Ennis, second by Councillor Downey, that November 28th, 2017 committee report recommendation regarding staff report 2017-126, land sale bylaw. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I'm just going to reiterate what I said at committee. I didn't support this at committee. I didn't support it for the very reason. I mean, some parts of it make sense, but once again, the councillors have been left out of this decision-making process, and we're the one with the history and the knowledge. Mr. St. Clair pointed out the number of different roads that, somebody who doesn't live in Caledon but works here at the town of Caledon has no clue what that road could possibly mean. So I'll give one example, and I dealt with what happened was with the Mac Park. Pinnacle is a little street, and there's no turnaround, and, of course, the big Peel regional trucks trying to get in and back out of Pinnacle Street in Bell Fountain, it needed a hammerhead. And without that hammerhead, we were going to continue having we could continue having an issue with vehicles having to back out of that street. So I actually went to Mr. Chan and said, whoa, before you start giving that land away, we need to correct a problem we have with our own roads. And I think that's the kind of knowledge that the councillor has that staff don't. And to go ahead and just put this all on staff without coming back and discussing it with us, I think would be a mistake. So I don't support doing this. Now, I know some of the people who spoke were worried about parcels getting sold off to other people. I think there are instances where they should be sold. But I never even thought about the Tottenham Pit and that road allowance. I thought, holy smokes, what would happen if the developer, it would be exactly what I had on the west side of Caledon, the Wayside Pit, which was the road allowance, which was dug out by the town of Caledon. So, and my residents opposed that. So that could very well happen to you over there. So I think we have to stay in touch with the councillors. That's what our job is. And every time we relinquish some responsibility, we're losing what we're actually paid to do. We're paid to represent the people and help make the best decisions and actually work as a team with the town of Caledon. But so I will not support this because it has nothing inclusive about working as a team, and I still believe it needs to come past the councillors. Thank you.
So you're not asking for a referral back to take our motion to
Well, I just don't know how you do a referral back, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
The problem is
well, you're talking about wanting to sell property but not the road allowances. That's what I was just saying.
Well,
all right.
You know what? I would, if you think we need to go back and
Let's see what the others have to say.
Okay, let's see what they say.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. Just going through the report here, I think staff, if they could outline the process of, and it seems to be the disposition of road allowances is one that's come up quite regularly, and if I look at the flow chart, there's at least two public meetings that would have to happen. So I think if staff can explain the process that would be involved and how many examples would fall into it, I think that would maybe help a little bit.
Ms. Tollett? Oh, Mr. Fackel, sorry. It's just...
Thank you. Through Mayor Thompson to Councillor DeBoer. At a high level, I want to be clear because I think there's been a little bit of misapprehension. Road allowances require municipal bylaw to close. So the only authority that has the power to pass a bylaw is council, so we'll always go to council. So for closing of road allowances, let me say it again, council will always have its say. In terms of our process, let's take it from the example of an applicant and someone applies to a purchased town land. In this case, it's a road allowance. The first thing we do is we circulate. We circulate the application to see if there's any objections from internal departments and external agencies. And what we're looking for here is if there's a current use or a potential future use that would say we can't or shouldn't sell this road allowance. And internally, let me go through the list of departments that get circulated and look at this. Engineering looks at it, essentially works looks at it. Development works at it, looks at it. Policy and sustainability looks at it. Regulatory services looks at it. Purchasing and risk management looks at it. Fire and emergency services looks at it. Building and services looks at it. Finance looks at it. Parks looks at it. Roads and fleet look at it. Traffic looks at it. Externally, we have the Niagara Escarpment Commission, Toronto Conservation Authority, the Credit Valley Conservation Authority, the Regional Municipality of Peel, and utilities. So it goes through a really comprehensive review. And internally, it goes to the staff that are responsible for planning the future transportation needs of this municipality. So if there is a need, if there's a concern, it gets flagged. And if it gets flagged, it doesn't move forward. Now, beyond that, let's look at the results. Over the last year, we have moved a number of properties through this process, our current process, and it's gone through council, and council hasn't needed to discuss any of those applications. When staff recommended that it would be closed and sold, they were all passed on consent. So it looks to me that this process is working very effectively to flag concerns and ensure that properties that are problematic, that shouldn't be sold, get flagged. And in terms of road allowances, again, at the very end of that process, there's a town bylaw that has to be passed, and council will have its say. If council views that the road allowance shouldn't be closed, then it will remain open and it won't be sold.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I have to admit, I've struggled with this one. I've gone back and forth on it. And I know initially I certainly had some of the cautionary notes that were expressed here this evening. The response from Mr. Savakos regarding the unopened road allowances certainly has helped allay some of those. And I'm trying to recall the original report, which captured, I think, the past year or so. And it wasn't an exorbitant amount of surplus sales that were made. Are staff able to tell me what percentage of those or what number of those were unopened road allowances as opposed to other parcels?
Mr. Savakos?
I can't give an exact percentage, but it's the vast majority.
The vast majority. So they would be brought to council's attention regardless.
That's correct.
Also, I'm not sure if Mr. Savakos mentioned it, if there's anything that staff feel council may be interested in, that they have the authority to recommend it to council for our consideration as well, even though it doesn't, according to the policy, they don't, you know, they have the authority to make that sale without council.
That's correct. If an issue arises that requires council consideration, we will certainly bring it to council. We have that ability.
Okay. I guess another question I have is, so you talked about the circulation. It's quite extensive internally and externally. How much additional work do staff feel it is to include an extra layer, which would be involving council on sales under $50,000? How much extra work or time time to the process would that create?
So this issue arose at the committee discussion, and I believe the town clerk raised concerns around circulating in this manner councils for comment because of the meeting requirements in the Municipal Act. However, there's notice requirements, and just like any other notice requirements, the council has the opportunity to put in submit comments at that time.
So what I'm trying to compare is the policy as proposed as to the current policy, which all sales come through council. How much additional time or resources are required to include council in these instances?
If we're looking at the current process, it's the time that it's required to bring account for a council report. And as I said, more often than not, these reports aren't actually discussed by council. So it does add some time to the overall process and makes it a little bit more onerous for applicants for below $50,000.
Okay. The other thing that I sensed listening to the delegates to at least some level was similar, in my opinion, to the other issue that was delegated with respect to the frivolous or vexatious policy is, you know, what is suggested by staff, what is the intent, and what the perception is. And so I heard comments that, you know, unopened road allowances, that might be a trailway, or that there might be servicing underneath that unopened road allowances. There were other examples that those might be sold, or that all town-owned land, small parcels, could be up for sale. To me, when I read the report, that's not the intention of the report. It's a policy to manage sales when they do come up, and oftentimes they are at the request of an abutting property owner, not necessarily of staff. I'm just wondering if staff can speak to that, because I sense that the understanding was somewhat that, you know, we're going to be looking at selling all of the surplus land, and including some that actually have value in our community, whether it be a trail or infrastructure or what have you. I'm just wondering if staff could speak to that.
Mr. Stravakos.
To Mayor Thompson, to Council Mezzapelli, certainly the intent is to ensure that any town land or road allowance that has potential future use or value to the town will not be sold. That is the entire intent of our process. And then if it has no future use, then to ensure that we get fair value for it, for that land. If we're talking about delegated authority below 50,000, given today's property values, those are extremely small parcels of land. They are not long trails. They are not large pieces of land. More often, they are isolated, disconnected pieces of road allowance that were sort of lost in time and forgotten and never really had a function. Generally, that's what we're seeing being sold and being applied for. If something has a potential function, our process is designed to catch that. And it's designed, if we are looking at a long road allowance as a potential future use as a trail, well, parks is circulated on that, works is circulated on that, Eric Chan, his group is circulated on that, and they are all looking at that exact issue. So I don't see that as the intent of the bylaw or of the report.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. So if a bylaw still has to come to council and council has the final decision, why are we changing it then?
Mr. Stravakos.
So there's two reasons. First, we're looking at non-road allowances, those small parcels of land here and there scattered around the town that have no particular use to the town once they've gone through this process. Those can be sold without going to council at all if they're below 50,000 in value. Second, it is that once council has approved that bylaw, we've eliminated the need for a secondary process for further council discussion around the sale. So we've simplified and streamlined the process. And again, it's something that's below 50,000. That's a number that we've delegated authority for leasing, for instance, that matches that value. We have given staff authority in a number of areas to deal with matters that are in that value vicinity, and this would be the same.
Okay. And when you do the circulation, it might be that you look at circulating it to the ward counselor. So if it's something in their particular ward, that you circulate those ward counselors. Is that something that you would be looking at?
Mr. Stravakos?
That's something that we haven't done in the past. And to be honest, it sort of begins to defeat the purpose of having that delegated authority. Again, there's a notice period, it's formal notice to the public. Council have absolute ability to put in comments at that time period. But what we don't want to be doing is beginning to circulating a conversation amongst council members around particular piece of land that now gets us in violation of the Municipal Act. So we need to be very careful when we start doing things like that. Again, council members are free to put in their comments during the notice period. And if there's a comment that comes out, maybe that creates could create a flag that it gets sent to council.
And to the point Councillor Shaughnessy raised about council members knowing their community and are familiar with the community, we certainly are. And I'm going to tell you, I had a developer in Bolton, and we have been in court with this developer for years and years and years, because he gave us parcels of land, and then many, many years later, he's coming back, or he's been back, to say, well, I didn't give it to you, I want it back. And we've spent a whole lot of money fighting this developer over the years. We've been very successful, but certainly myself as the counselor in the area got involved, residents got involved, and those are the types of things that I guess I'm concerned about, is that we know our communities, we're familiar with a lot of things in the community, and if we didn't get involved, I'm not sure, because the town really had no, well, we didn't have a whole lot of, well, I don't want to go into the details, but we were at risk of losing those properties, and they're woodlots, or they're beautiful lots that it's nice for the environment, and this developer wanted it back so he could build houses on those lots. So I guess I understand where Councillor Shaughnessy is coming from, and Mr. Sinclair and Ms. Wilson, is that these are the concerns that they have, that something comes forward and it just sort of slips through the cracks.
Yeah. Constantine?
Or through Councillor Thompson through Mayor Thompson to Councillor Groves. That dispute obviously occurred before I was here, but when we get into disputes around whether something was donated or litigation around sales, that's more about how the process is papered over. That's about the legal agreements. That's about drafting, and council doesn't draft those. The staff do. So again, the delegated authority would do nothing to alter that.
But I guess it would be the same concern, because we might not know, or you may not know, the history of certain issues, or we might get someone who's new, a staff person who's new and who's not familiar with it, and you move ahead. And I understand the public process, that you will be coming and going through a public process, but I still think that certain things are best left with the folks who are elected to look at those things. Sort of like the province coming up with these boards and agencies, and there's really no accountability there at the end of the day with the politicians. So,
you done? Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Stravakos, you did a wonderful job outlining all the agencies you talked to, but you truly left out the councillors. And the councillors, first off, know the history. And they probably could direct you in such a way that they would say, well, you know what? That guy has been maintaining that right away for 50 years. Now the other guy decides he wants it. We have history. We know what's going on. So I would actually like to amend it. I'd like to amend it to take out the road allowances that I truly believe needs to come back to council for us to take a look at it. It's not going to be onerous. It hasn't been onerous on me as a councillor for 3 years. And, yes, it's been fairly simple this year, but I can think of a number of ones that were quite contentious and needed the councillors had the information. So if we could amend it to remove the road allowances, that would probably be a good start.
Okay. Well, we're going to need a recess, so that'll give everybody a 5-minute seventh inning stretch. Okay.
Yeah, it's not what I had asked for, but the lawyer, Mr. Stravakos, would appreciate it being referred back to them. So it's a referral as opposed to an amendment.
Mr. Stravakos.
If I may clarify, my intent is if there's a request to amend the bylaw on the spot, I think it's better to refer it back, because then it'll be a cleaner and amendment process. It's not that I'm recommending that it be referred back.
Yes. Yeah, gotcha. Okay, so I'm going to read it, everybody. Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Groves, that staff report 2017-126 regarding land sale be referred back to staff in order to remove road allowances from the delegated authority below at 50,000 and report back. Okay. All right. Anybody to the referral? I will take Councillor Befford.
No, not to the referral, but I at the time that we were speaking, I wanted to speak to the motion, but not to the referral.
Okay. I'll put you back on the board in a minute. Councillor DeBoer?
I think we're just going to ask the same question I had before, and this has to have road allowances removed, but road allowances from when I look at the flow chart, and it's applicants submits an application to or applicant submits a complete application, I guess, to purchase a road allowance. There's a public notice. Staff can correct me at any point, but there's a public notice, which is mandatory for all road allowances, optional in other cases. There's a bylaw, which would require two council meetings. First, it would be the general meeting and then a council meeting, so there'd be two meetings to have that. And then the second is a public notice, mandatory public notice, and I'm just wondering where that fits in. I guess that's the third block in the flow chart. And is that a public notice to notify that a sale has been complete? Is that the intent there? I guess this is my question.
Mr. Stavakos.
Through the mayor, the council, the board, the intent is to notify the public that there will be a sale. So it's before the actual completion of the sale.
So we actually go to the public three times then, because the bylaw would require public notice too, as far as in the agenda, right?
So that's correct. If you count the council meeting where the bylaw has to be discussed and adopted, there'll be at least three opportunities for public notice.
Okay. And by removing road allowances, I can't imagine one of those public meetings would actually just happen sooner. Is that how you would interpret removing road allowances out of this, out of being qualified? You would just move your public meeting to ahead of the process, ahead of, I guess once the application is submitted, it would be inserted at that point in time before circulation.
So it can go, if it's strictly a bylaw that's being brought before council, it can go to council a little more quickly than it would if we were bringing a report and a bylaw with all the advanced review and drafting of those reports. So there's a little bit of a simpler process for road allowances. And the actual sale element of it, if it's below 50,000, what the value is and all that discussion doesn't go before council. It's a strict decision on whether to sell it or whether not to.
But if you decide to sell it, or if you remove it and you have it at the start, we would actually be making this decision to yes or no sell it, and then it would still have to go through the process to figure out whether the applicant is really sincere enough in making the decision to actually close the deal. Potentially, you could have somebody where you've gone to the trouble of doing a staff report, you've done the work necessary to get it before council, and then after that, the purchaser could decide that they don't want to buy it.
Through the mayor, council, the board, that's correct. There is an application fee that should cover the bulk of staff work up to getting it to council. But after that, if council approves the closing of the road and the applicant decides that they don't want to go through the rest of that process or they don't want to pay what's required, they can always resile from that.
They can leave from there, but so all the costs would be covered. It's just that you wouldn't go any farther, whereas in what you're proposing, it would actually move through to where you've got more of a completed deal with somebody wanting to purchase a piece of land, and then you would come to, be after the public notice. So, yeah, you're still going to have it fairly early on.
There is. The gist of it is it's a more condensed process. We'll be able to move through it more quickly, and there's a removal of one element for road allowances only, which is that the report to council, the staff report. The council will still see the bylaw. So that's the major difference for road allowances. In terms of the procedure, yes, we're contemplating taking a deposit in advance of going through all that, so we know that the applicant's serious. There's a few tidying up kinds of moves that we don't have right now the ability to do. That being said, we haven't often gotten payment has rarely been the issue in moving things along.
So in keeping it the way it is, rather than doing it the way the amendment is, and that is allowing the road allowances or requiring the removing the road allowances out, you are actually proposing a process that would be somewhat streamlined, but still require at least three opportunities for public notification.
Correct. The process will be streamlined, but there'll be multiple opportunities for public notice and comment, and it will still go before council in terms of the bylaw on whether to close the road or to maintain it.
Okay, thank you.
That's only for land over 50,000, right?
So for all land over 50,000, from council's perspective, it'll look very similar in that they'll see a full staff report, they'll see a bylaw if it's a road closure. They'll see a few more options in terms of the way things get sold. We'll have a bit more flexibility on that.
But below 50,000 on the amendment.
Below 50,000, if it's a road allowance, council will see the bylaw, and they'll make a vote on the bylaw. For non-road allowances, it's pure delegated authority.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it's also delegated thresholds. We're the same as Brampton. Chatham-Kent is lower, and I guess in the ones that you've listed, and finding surprisingly, although I don't know how much land there'd be, but Markham at $300,000.
That's correct. Keeping in mind in Chatham-Kent, the property values are not Caledon property values. They are lower, so respectively, it's probably dealing with the same kind of size of properties. I know another region is also going to be bringing forward a similar proposal for delegated authority at a much higher level. We'll see what the staff report looks like, but we've had an offline discussion regarding that as well.
Thank you for the clarification. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. So point is that it has been coming to council. It hasn't been onerous. And I guess my point that maybe isn't being understood, or maybe I haven't articulated it well, is that we have information that might affect how staff move forward on something, and why would we wait and allow staff to do all this work? And then at the last, it comes to council, and we go, oh, by the way, you've missed out on Joe Blow, who said, you know, has been looking after the property for the last 20 years. And I just think there's a part of the equation is missing, and that is the councillors. So and this doesn't mean you have to remove the road allowance, but it definitely means go back, take a look at it. And if you come back to us and tell us no, would prefer to have councillors as part of the discussion, which I think you should no matter what, even if it's not written down, because that's our job. I just see no reason why not to send this back for a second look. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Bedford?
Yes, Mayor Thompson. My question is not directly at what's on the screen, but it's important to what's on the screen. And that is this connection between the authority of the person here at the town to purchase or sell. I have no problem with that. It's just that connection with the councillor. Can you tell me, for example, if there is a committee of adjustment, I get a notification at some point of what is going to happen, and I can then relate to staff and ask questions and do what I need to do. Is there something in the process that we already have that will make that happen for me as a councillor?
Mr. Tolakos.
Through the mayor to Councillor Bedford. Currently, there's nothing. In the future, if we go with what we're proposing, there'll be an early posting on the town's website about proposed sales. So you'll actually be getting more notice than you would be getting right now. In terms of knowing in advance. And again, in terms of road allowances, it'll be on the agenda. There's the bylaw. You will know it's coming in front of you. Right now, I can say that we already do pretty much all the work in advance of taking it to council, because it's got to come to council in a position for council to be able to move forward. So that is not really going to change. It may not be onerous for council, but what I've been hearing from applicants is they do view this as an onerous process, especially for properties that don't have a lot of value.
Right.
It takes them a very long time to navigate through our process. It's confusing to them, and it doesn't function in a business-like manner. And the idea, the concept behind all this was to get this not completely in a business-like manner, but move properties of lesser value into a little bit more of a business-like process so that we can sell them, dispose of them, and move forward if we don't need them. And do it in a way that won't be so onerous and unattractive to potential buyers. Again, we're kind of splitting the difference. We're not doing it the way a business would, but we are doing it a little bit more streamlined than we are right now, and that's the hope of this bylaw.
Well, I trust staff that there will be that opportunity for councillors to see what's going on and to chat. I know when I get the weekly information for the newsletter, some of that includes sales of property. And so I put that in my newsletter, and I can also contact the staff member. So that will continue. I guess I'd like you to consider at some point, and I personally don't see the road allowances being part of this. I see that if you're delegated the authority, that all of those things will crop up at some point. In other words, if you're dealing with a piece of land that is a road allowance, it will automatically pop itself up, and so it would have to be discussed under the terms of road allowance as opposed to anything else. I don't think that's a problem. What I think is a problem is making sure that the councillors are aware. So I'd like you to consider, and I'm not going to put a motion forward, but consider at some point having a specific request or a specific notation to the councillors in their wards. If something's going on like that they know, that would be appreciated. Thanks.
Okay. No further question. All in favor of the amendment? Opposed? Hands up, guys. Fails. Okay, so back to the original motion. And I'll read it again because it's been a while. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Downey, that the November 28, 2017 General Committee report recommendation regarding the following item, Staff Report 2017-126 regarding land sale bylaw. All in favor? Oh, sorry, Councillor Shaughnessy. Didn't see you.
That's okay. Can I have a recorded vote, please?
Thank you. A recorded vote's been requested. All those in favor, please stand. I'll start to my left. Councillor DeBoer, Councillor Downey, Councillor Beffert, Mayor Thompson, Councillor McClure, Councillor Innes, Councillor Mezzapelli. All those opposed? Please stand, Councillor Groves and Councillor Shaughnessy. The motion carries.
Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that the November 28, 2017 Planning Development Committee recommendations regarding the following consent items be adopted. Staff report 2017-146 regarding town initiated zoning bylaw amendment for Callan Equestrian Park, 200 Pine Avenue, Ward 4. Staff report 2017-148 regarding the proposed draft plan subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment of Harwood Structures Corporation, 0 Highway 50, Part Lot 23, Concession 7, Albion, Ward 4. Heritage Caledon report dated November 13th. 2017, request to amend heritage designating bylaw 96-31 for 14121 Emil Cove Parkway, Log Homes 16955 Mount Pleasant Road, and request to demolish a designated heritage structure on 13941 Airport Road. All in favor? Carried. Okay, moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Downey, that November 28th, or Councillor Innes, sorry, Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Downey, that November 28th, 2017 General Committee report recommendation regarding the following item be adopted. Confidential report 2017-29 regarding personal matters by identifiable hearing tribunal appointments. Councillor Groves, I'm sorry. All right. All in favor? It's carried. Moved by Councillor Boer, second by Councillor Beffert, that November 28, 2017 Planning and Development Committee report be received. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Downey, that November 28, 2017 Planning and Development Committee report recommendations regarding the following items be adopted. Staff report 2017-139 regarding comprehensive townwide guidelines. Staff report 2017-134 Bolton Special Policy Area Study Review in support of update, Alton Village Study Update, and on-farm diversified uses in the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I just wanted to speak specifically to item 2017-134. This is a report regarding the Bolton Special Policy Area. The review is complete, and it's asking for our support to move it forward to the province for endorsement. I had concerns with this, which I had raised at committee, with respect to the fact that there is a special policy area in downtown Bolton is because it's recognized that if that area is frozen from any type of development, even one which rightfully so respects the risk, that would create undue hardship. I just wanted to say I have had really good conversations with staff on this issue and understand that the real essence of this was redefining and updating the boundary of the SBA, getting the uses that we want out of a floodplain out, and that going forward there will be conversations and other studies that will impress upon what can happen in the core, certainly respecting the risk. So I am entirely satisfied with this and thank staff for their work and will be endorsing it. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Beffert.
Yes, I'd just like to clarify regarding your comment about Alton.
Yeah.
I believe we had a memorandum and I believe there was a motion to set up a meeting. Is that included in what we're voting on? Just want to make sure.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Downey, that December 5th, 2017 General Committee report recommendations regarding consent items 2017-151 regarding Ontario Regulation 284-09 2018 budget be adopted. All in favor? Opposed? Okay. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer, that December 5th, 2017 General Committee report recommendation regarding the following item be adopted. Staff report 2017-138 regarding proposed 2018 budget. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. First, a couple of questions. I had some residents talk to me over the weekend. They had concerns about the number of people we were hiring. And I have a couple of questions having to do with the people that we are hiring. I know we took the business, one of the business people out of it. I think it was the analyst? I'm not sure. But let me ask, is strategic initiatives, a Service Caledon, manager Service Caledon for $136,498. I don't think we hired somebody. I think that was a transition from one department to the other. I need some clarity on that.
I'm going to ask the CEO.
Yes, through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Shaughnessy. The staff position was not a flow-through position.
It wasn't a flow-through. So, okay, I'll tell you why. People are a little antsy over the people just because in the Southfield one, we said we were hiring 11 people, but we're not really hiring 11 people. We're doing a reserve. So this wasn't a flow-through, so we're actually does that mean, sorry, I'm just trying to get the terminology right because I have to go back and explain it to my residents, that we were actually hiring somebody at $136,498?
Pass it back to
sorry, you. I'm a little confused.
The staff costs include all costs, benefits,
training,
everything is included in that. So if the question is the person being hired for $130,000 salary, the answer is no.
No, I understand that. I'm just trying to understand it. When we see that full-time headcount and we're adding these people up, are we actually going out and hiring new people, or are they being transferred from one department to another department and we have a new salary base? The reason I ask that, this happened at the Region Appeal just recently, where people thought the region was hiring somebody and they actually didn't hire them. They moved them from one department to the next because one department started to work a little bit better than the other one. So they took the person and they moved him over to the next department, but there was absolutely no cost. It wasn't an additional salary. And I'm seeing a bunch of salaries and I'm trying to figure out whether we're going out to hire people, such as in corporate services. I got regulatory service coordinator at 87,000. Are we going out and are we hiring somebody, or is that being moved over? Same with the manager of service Caledon. Are we hiring a new person, or is this person already working for the town of Caledon? We're moving them over there, and now all of a sudden they've got a new type of salary. Not sure what happened to their old salary. I'm looking at a second. There's another one here someplace.
Mr. Wong, do you want to answer those ones first so we don't get lost in confusion here?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I will provide an answer in general terms in terms of how the budget works. The town of Caledon, we actually have an approved headcount from council, and if we want to increase that headcount, the full-time headcount, we go through this level of detail and we present the details to council, and council approves an increase in full-time headcount to accommodate growth, to provide better customer service, and so on. So when you look at our budget document, you actually will see a summary of full-time headcount approved by council each year. And we go through this process in terms of adding to that so that it is a public and transparent process. So whatever gets approved this year, we actually have a summary that the public can see, and I believe it's a current year and four years of history that shows that shows historically how the town has increased in terms of staffing. And again, all the information is laid out in the budget documents. So the question about whether it is an internal person or external, that is the hiring process. So what we're asking here is the budget approval for the incremental headcount, and we're doing that publicly. How basically that position gets filled, it gets advertised, and then whether it's filled internally or externally, that is the hiring process.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Okay, I understand, but and I'll just pick out the one, Fooing, and maybe I'm not feeling very well. Maybe I'm not thinking as straight as I would like to, but I know I've got a service Caledon manager who actually was already employed by the town of Caledon, who moved from one department to the next. Yet I got $136,000 going into my budget to pay for a new person. But it isn't a new person, it's an existing person who was obviously under a salary in another division. So I'm trying to understand how I tell my people that I'm just paid for $136,000 for a staff person who has just moved from Department A to Department B. That's Councilor what,
Shaughnessy,
and maybe I'm wrong.
I'm going to get Ms. Porter to clarify that for you.
Okay. Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councilor Shaughnessy. The hiring of the Service Caledon manager was based on a headcount that was approved in 2017 from another department. We deferred the hiring in that department so that we could fund the Service Caledon headcount in 2017. So what that means for 2018 is that the headcount in the department that was originally approved needs to get that headcount back because they need to hire that person. So that's why we're putting in the Service Caledon person as the new headcount. So all we did is we switched the headcount that wasn't filled in one department last year to fill the Service Caledon position. So we were down a headcount. So to build on Mr. Wong's comment is that the complement of headcount was the same in 2017, even though we hired the Service Caledon manager, but we need to add the Service Caledon manager for 2018. Because the other department needs to hire that. It's like we've left one position vacant. We've transferred the headcount. We just haven't transferred the person. And to your point about the person already being here, yes, the person was here. They were in another position, which has also subsequently been backfilled.
Okay, so I'm going to say that that is really difficult to understand from a resident perspective.
Okay.
And I think in the future I'd really like to see that when we get this out of the budget, it actually says who we're hiring and who we're not and who we're moving from one place to another, because to me, I look at that and it says I'm hiring a Service Caledon manager for $136,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not. We moved her from one department to another and now we're going to replace whatever the person in the other.
Not from her department. We actually took it from a totally unrelated department. It was just a headcount that wasn't backfilled.
Yeah.
So,
I get it. It's confusing, and it's tough to explain to residents because they just go, well, you're hiring somebody. So, but we'll chat about that later. Okay, I'm going to bring both of these motions forward. I took them away from you. I'm sorry. So
I'm going to have to do them each individually.
That's fine.
Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Gross, the following paragraph be added in the 2018 budget be amended to remove the funded change of service level number 13 operating budget for new community center in Southfields to the amount of $477,800 from the tax levy.
Do we have to have 2/3 vote on this or
no? Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a couple of financial people talk to me on the weekend, and they said, and they actually went online and looked at the budget online, so it was great. But they had a hard time, just like I have a hard time, supporting something that says I'm hiring 11 people. If staff had come to me and said, we're going to create a reserve fund for the future, I could probably sell that. But everybody sees it as that we were hiring 11 people. And I think that's not transparent. I would have preferred that you just create a reserve fund. And it's not that I have anything against anything going on in Southfield. I just have a hard time hiring people when it will be lucky if it's open by mid-2019. So I'm asking for it to be removed because my residents are asking me to have it removed, that it was not clear and it was not transparent. And I guess we could have done it better. So I'll leave it open up to discussion. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Misapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I won't be supporting this. The reason being, and staff did a really good job in expressing that the annualized cost to have those 11 people is 1.4 for $1.36 million. And what this does is it phases it in. So it's in the base on the operations side in time for that the building to open. And I am not being smart, and I am saying this with the absolute greatest amount of respect. But if you look at the operational budget under community services for ask number 13, I know there's a summary that Councillor Shaughnessy is referring to, but it clearly states that this is not bodies in 2018. This is creating, it states, a phase-in plan over 3 years for the net annualized cost to operate the new community center. And it, in detail, talks about all of the things that go into that costing. So in my mind, it was very clearly laid out, and I will not bestow upon a future council an additional cost to operate this facility because I want to reduce the one-third that is required in 2018, which we are voting on tonight. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Just before we vote on it, I won't support this either, and here's the reasons why. The Region Appeal for the last number of years has had some tax room because of the uploading of the province. This ends for the 2018 budget. So come the next year's budget for the new council, if we don't accept this blend to start to build this, you're automatically going to have a 2% increase right off the bat for council to deal with, and we may not have the tax room anymore at the region or at the school board side of things. So I think it's totally irresponsible if we don't start to plan like this. And you know something, folks? We're going to have more of this down the road. With all the growth we're going to have, we're going to have to look eventually at full-time firefighters. And when you have to do it, you just can't hire one or two. You have to do it as a platoon. So we're going to have to build it over time. And this is the way we have to go about it. And to me, this is thinking ahead and not compromising future councils. So I think it's important that we need to be fiscally responsible. And as far as I'm concerned, I think it's straightforward and very transparent. But we're all entitled to have our opinions, but that's the reason why I won't support this amendment. With no Councillor Shaughnessy.
I believe in fiscal responsibility too. Yes, it does put the onus on future council, absolutely. But it says it was for people, I'm sorry. And I agree that we need to put money away, but it's how we set it. I can't remove this out of our off the internet and say, oh no, it wasn't for people, it was really for this. So I am fiscally responsible, and this council has to own what they did in Southfield anyways. So I understand why you can't support it, but my residents in Ward 1 are not happy with how this went down. And so I won't be supporting it. And next time, please bring it to me as a reserve, not something that's showing me that I'm hiring 11 people, which I'm not hiring. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay. No further questions. All in favor? Opposed? Okay, so what we're asking, so we're voting on that the following paragraph be added, that the 2018 budget be amended to remove the funded change in the service level number 13 in the operating budget for the new community center in Southfields in the amount of $477,800 from the tax levy funding. Yeah. Yes. All in favor? Opposed? It fails. Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Groves, that the following paragraph be added, that the 2018 budget be amended to remove the funded change in service level number 14, Recreation Customer Service Administrator, from the amount of $62,296 from the tax levy funding. Councillor Groves. Shaughnessy. I need a coffee.
We're going to switch spots. We're going to switch spots and then we'll get it right. Okay. So if you read it, This person is once again for Southfields. Not sure why we put it separately, but it's an administrator for recreational services. So I'm just merely pulling it out because there's no recreational services until it's built. So that's why I'm pulling it out.
Ms. Tollett.
Through Mayor Thompson, it's not particularly for just Southfields. This is for a customer service person for the support services division, which looks after all rec facilities, including the new Southfields Community Center. It will support all the rentals for all the groups. It actually does a lot of the facility bookings. It's one person that looks after all those administrative duties, and it's to support part of Southfields, of course, but it's a need within support services now, not just necessary for Southfields.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Okay, so I read it and I understood it. The problem is that if it is for more than Southfields, problem is that we have an issue in that department that we need to streamline it, because I know how difficult it is for a number of my residents to get bookings, et cetera. So I'm still putting it on the floor. I think it's not necessary. I'm looking, I took the budget home. I'm working on the budget trying to figure out how to bring it down, because there's a number of residents who say we always allow it to go too high. So I think this is something that could be removed, and I think we should. So it's on the floor. Thank you.
Okay. No further questions. I will call the question. All in favor? Opposed? Just lost. Okay. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey, the following paragraph be added: that the Library Board be requested to provide an update regarding a wireless internet hotspots program through the Caledon Public Library by the end of June 2018. There's no cost to this one that I see. Okay. Everybody okay with it? All right. All in favor? It's carried. Moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy, that the following paragraph be added: to support Mr. Rosa in exploring a partnership opportunity with the Nicolini family of Bolton regarding potential arts center. Report back to Council by April 2018 with an overview of partnership options, location options in Bolton, and budget the feasibility of the project. Okay. Any questions? Okay. I'll just let everybody read this for a moment. Okay, Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. While I agree with the intentions behind this motion, my only concern is that there is no direction to ensure that there is any staff, and in particular, I would think that somebody from our Strategic Initiatives Department would be working with Mr. Rosa and the Nicolini family on this type of initiative. Who better to know our corporate policies and our legal concerns and issues other than an actual staff person? So I would support it, and I'm going to ask that it be amended to include a town staff designate from Strategic Initiatives.
Okay. And I'm going to ask for a recess for that, because I don't think
we need a recess. Well, we can. It'll take 20 seconds while Mr. Arbuckle is commenting.
Mr. Arbuckle.
So I have to kill 20 seconds?
Is that yeah, you got 20 seconds to kill.
I can do that. So through the mayor to Councillor Ernest, I think we've had a very positive relationship with Mr. Rose in the past. I've had an opportunity to just to meet him this evening and to speak with Ms. Britnell in relation to the file. So I think there is an opportunity for us to be able to work with Mr. Rosen if he has any questions in relation to the town and our position in relation to any of the issues that he sort of moves forward or is encountering in his proposal. then I'm certainly we can provide some advice to him as we go forward.
I think it would be beneficial to have one point of contact for Mr. Rosa instead of him being required to go from department to department to department to get whatever information or support he may or may not need. So that's why I'm suggesting that it be a one-point person from Strategic Initiatives to be in contact with Mr. Rosa to provide that information and that support that he needs.
Okay. Councillor Bufford?
Yes. I do not agree with putting in the name of a family. I don't know these people, and I know that Mr. Rosa has made it clear that he has talked to them, and that's fine. I would prefer to see the simply with the Nicolini family of Bolton left out and just provide him with an opportunity of exploring a potential partnership.
Okay, we're going to have an amendment on that one. But you're going to have to wait till after we get the other one done.
Okay.
Mr. Stravakos, I'm going to ask you for a 20-second comment. Do you think we should be with the recommendation that I know I'm jumping out of text, but it's getting late, so mayor's privilege. Can I have your opinion on what Councillor Bufford said?
Mayor Thompson, yes, I think that would be appropriate to remove the name and not provide particular support to any particular person.
Okay. We'll give you a minute.
Mayor Thompson, can I ask a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we do this all too often, is we see a motion and then we amend it and there's like multiple amendments to the amendment. And it probably can't work, but my suggestion would be to have a conversation about the intent of the motion, which I think council generally supports. The one thing that I was going to add, as I had mentioned to Mr. Rosa himself, was to ensure that the larger arts community is included in that process. I know Mr. Rosa committed to checking off all the boxes. We did have an arts committee which represented all of the arts and was a part of this original process. I just want to make sure that that's included too. And I don't want to keep making amendment after amendment after amendment.
I think we can do that as direction. I think everybody pretty much understands that. Okay. So I'm going to start with the first one here. Okay. Thank you. All right. Moved by Councillor Ennis, second by Councillor Misapelli, that the following paragraph be added, that the staff member from Strategic Initiatives be directed to work with Mr. Rosa. All in favor? Oh, you want to? Okay. All right. Councillor Groves?
Speaking to the amendment, and I'm sure Mr. Rosa has no issues with working with a staff member, but there has been some issues in the past where this council directed, we passed motions that Mr. Rosa be included in conversations and in all that stuff that was happening, the consultation and that. And in some instances, he was not included. He was sort of left out of the picture, left out of the loop. Mr. Rosa has done a lot of work on this. He spent 3 years doing work on this. So I think that that's the concern that he has. And I don't know who the point person will be, and Mr. Arbuckle, if that's you. Mr. Rosa is really just looking for assurances that he will be involved and not finding out things after the fact. That has been some challenges in the past, and I'm just communicating how some of the comments I've heard. So I don't know who is the point person.
Councillor Groves or Mr. Arbuckle.
Through the mayor to Councillor Groves. So I think in the past, at least from my understanding, it has been a bit of a town-driven process in relation to doing the assessments of different facilities and other pieces. In this case, Mr. Rosa is taking the initiative to work with whomever he decides to find those partnership opportunities with. So it is not a town-driven process. It is on Mr. Rosa to bring forward that business case to the town and propose what opportunities there are from a community perspective and from a town perspective in supporting that. So in that case, that aside, you have my commitment that through myself and through Aaron Britville that we will stay in contact with Mr. Rosa. We also do have a meeting coming up with him next week so we can start to clearly define what maybe support he may need from our team as he advances those partnership opportunities and that proposal to bring forward.
Okay, well, I certainly hope, and I know that even the consultant that we had hired, Novita, I believe is their name, that came from Mr. Rosa. Mr. Rosa actually worked with those consultants and found those consultants, and sites were visited, and he was not invited to visit those sites and again, it just came after the fact. So, Mr. Arbuckle, I am going to ask that he not be left out. And he becomes really, he is part of that process. So I heard what you said, and I'm taking your word, and I'm going to go with that you're going to ensure that he is part of that process as it moves forward.
Okay. I'm going to call the vote on it. All in favor? It's carried. Okay. Moved by Councillor Befford, second by Councillor Downey, that the words Nicolini family of Bolton be removed. All right, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I don't support removing the name because that's actually the partner that he's working with. So to remove the name and explore partnership opportunities. Okay, he's found the opportunity, so why would we remove the name? This is the company family he's been working with, and this is an opportunity, so why would we shut it down? So unfortunately, I won't support the amendment because it does, I mean, if, sorry, Mr. Mayor, what would be the original motion without the name in it?
What do you mean?
Well, once you remove the name, what does it leave in the motion? It talks about partnership, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and that's what it would be about.
Explore a partnership with whom? So it doesn't make sense to pull the name out. So, no, unfortunately, Mr. Beffert, the name has to stay in because that's who he's been working with. It doesn't make sense to remove it. And maybe they would like to be acknowledged for the work that they're actually going to do in helping build this facility. Thank you.
I think Mr. Stravakos made it abundantly clear why, but fair enough. Councillor Groves?
I also won't be supporting removing the name. Mr. Rosa spoke with the Nicolini family, 2 years ago? There was an opportunity to partner with them. That sort of fell by the wayside. Nobody really went to talk to the Nicolini family with the proposal that they had during that whole consultation process. We lost the opportunity. And I think, Mayor Thompson, you've had some conversations with Mr. Rosa on it, that it was an opportunity lost. Now we've got an opportunity again. So he has found a partner. He has found someone who's willing to step up to the plate. They need some assurances that there's a willingness and a commitment on the part of council to explore this partnership. So I think if we remove the name, we're going back to square one again. We're going to start all over again and start looking at 10 different facilities or options, and it just makes no sense.
Mr. Stavakos? I think you made it clear. Fair enough. Councillor Mizzapelli.
It's just I was reading his expression, so that's why.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. So when I look at this, and I have the greatest amount of respect for the work that Mr. Rose has done, and certainly the interest of the Nicolini family as well, a greatest amount of respect for that. The point I want to make is, and by no stretch of the imagination should this be construed as a slight against the Nicolini family, but the removal of it does not preclude that partnership opportunity. In fact, it includes that as well as any others. And when Mr. Rosa spoke, he spoke of other potential partners or maybe firm partners. When I look at this, you could... The motion as it was, and say that there could not be any additional partners, narrowing the scope. So over the next 3 months, if another community partner wants to join in and partner, why would we want to close that door? And I'm not, I hope this becomes extremely successful and works, but I don't see the harm in removing the single focus of the partnership. It doesn't exclude it, and it opens it up that if there were others, and I understand that there were others, that they could be included. If you read this to the letter that it's written, or technically, there would be no other partners permitted. And so it really is a... it is not caustic. It does not remove the partnership opportunity with the Nicolini family whatsoever. In my mind, it opens it up and certainly still provides for that to transpire. So I don't know how it's read that removing the name removes the partner. And if that's the case, I'd like to know how that means that, but I don't see it. And certainly when this comes back, I'm sure his name will be front and center, and rightfully so, if he's a very strong partner. And I would certainly support that, but I don't see the harm, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Councillor Bufford?
Yeah, I think Councillor Mizzapelli has it correct. Mr. Rosa, I heard you say that you wanted permission to go out and do this work, that you were prepared to do it. We've already been told by Strategic Initiatives that you'll have someone to make as a contact. The Nicolini family is not here. I don't believe that we should put their name in there. I think it precludes the others that you mentioned. You have lots of other people in town that you're going to talk to as well. I just simply have a problem with putting one specific name in. I think we leave it, and it's clearly, when you take the name out, says that you're going to look at all the options for partnerships, and I'm very supportive of that, and I'm sure you're going to come back with more than just one family.
Okay. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson, just on the heels of my colleagues, I too have the utmost respect for Mr. Rosa and the work that he does in the community and what he's working to achieve. At first, the motion in its entirety seemed a little bit odd to me because it was asking us to support a relationship between two private entities, basically, without our own role within it. So I would support, you know, adding a relationship with town staff as well, but I feel that it may be limiting the actual process and the partnerships that you may be open to by just naming one family.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy. Got you right this time. I've had no coffee.
Getting late. Okay. I heard Strategic Initiatives say that this is Mr. Rose's initiative. It's not a town initiative. Am I correct there? Okay, so I think he has the right to say who he's working with. I happen to know and been in contact with Mr. Rose over the last number of months, and he has worked hard to find a main partner to start this work. It doesn't preclude other people from being partners. There could be other partners, but you're sending him off to go and talk about a partnership with who? He's got a main partner. Let's try and move this thing forward. Like, okay, we don't want the Nicolini family. We don't want to consider them. We'll just send, for 3 years, he's been off working for this. Well, we'll just say, well, you found somebody? No, you can't use the person you found. I mean, we here in council have relationships with the Rotary. We say, Rotary came to us with this great idea, and we're going to be a partner with them. So he's brought the same sort of thing, only a heck of a lot more money. Sorry, Rotary. But you can't take out who he's been working with. It's just the guy that owns the land. He's the guy that's willing to put the work into it. Doesn't preclude anybody else getting involved. And it's not up to those counselors who didn't even go out to see the sites with him. I happened to go out and see the sites from the west side of Caledon, and I can tell you, there's only two on council that actually went. So, and I guess we can see who on council went. So this is a great initiative we got to get behind. Removing the name? What's he supposed to do? Go out and look for other partners when he's got the main partner? You got to get the darn building up. You got to have land. Then you can go out and sell sponsorship opportunities. But taking the name out is cutting him off at the knees.
Councilor McClure.
I don't like the idea of having only one name to pick from. How do we know this person is going to fund to the level that we want them to fund? There's lots of people that could. I'm not going to do it, but there's other people that would possibly fund it. That's all I think.
Councilor Gross.
Well, Mr. Rosa has had conversations with the Nicolini family. He has asked their permission to include their name in here. The Nicolini family, they are willing to step up to the plate. We have a willing partner at the table. I don't see anybody. I didn't see anybody running to the table to partner in the 3 years that we've been dealing with this issue. We have someone at the table. We are looking at partnerships. We hired someone to look at partnerships. If the Nicolini family has given permission to put their name in here, I don't see what the problem is. I don't see it precluding any others. Mr. Rosa will be having conversations with other partners to look at funding. The Nicolini family, they are stepping up to the plate to build the building, and we've had that opportunity before. We've lost it. In 3 years' time, land has gone up significantly, and I think when the Nicolini family came forward 3 years ago, from what the cost of land was and to build a building, it's gone up quite significantly. I don't understand what the problem is here. We're not precluding anyone else. Mr. Rosa got permission from the Nicolini family. They're a long-standing family. They've contributed a lot to this community. We have done work with the Nicolini family for years. We've purchased land from them. We've done all sorts of things with them. So I don't see this precluding anyone else. They are the only ones who stepped up to the plate to say, yes, we would love to do this because this is something that we feel is important for the community, and we'd like to leave this as our legacy.
Okay. Councilor Ennis.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I think my biggest concern with this, the Nicolini family, there's no arguing amongst any of us how, you know, wonderful corporate citizens they are. They have. They've always been there. They've always, whenever we've asked them for help or when the community has asked them, they've always been there. My concern is I don't like using any resident's name in a motion unless they're A, standing in front of me, or B, have provided me something in writing or have sent me an email. If I had gotten an email from the Nicolini family saying, we fully support this and I look forward to working with the town and moving forward, I then too would be happy to have them in that motion. I don't feel comfortable, and maybe that's me, I don't feel comfortable using a resident's personal name in a motion without their explicit consent given directly to me or council or to staff. And that's not to say that Mr. Rosa hasn't been working with him, and I'm sure that he most definitely has. Mm-hmm. But that consent needs to be expressed to me. It needs to be expressed to council before I could support that name being in. And I agree with the majority of council's comments that not having their name does not preclude them. It does not tell them that we're not interested in them working with the town. We very much are. So I'm happy to reach out to them as a council member to encourage that discussion and to further it and to help in any way that I can. But I can't sit here in good faith when I would never do it to any other resident. And if they had been here themselves, I would be more than happy to include it. And I'm more than happy to explain my position directly to Mr. Nicolini tomorrow, because I think that he needs to know why we've said some of the things that we have. And it's not that we're not supporting his partnership. We wholeheartedly support it. And we thank Mr. Rosa and Mr. Nicolini for those efforts. But I don't feel comfortable putting the name in without that explicit consent before us today.
Okay. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'm not sure how, certainly I'll speak for myself, my comments got misconstrued. I have no problem with identifying the name. I know that the Nicolini family has expressed interest in this initiative. From the history on this arts facility. My comments were, I was looking to make sure that the opportunities were wide. My expectation is that after we pass this, is that Mr. Rosa was going to go out and, just as he would have anyways, and continue to engage with the Nicolini family, but to keep the doors open that those other partners would be included too. That was my full intention, and I don't know how that got misconstrued, and I'll speak for myself. I am happy if we let this fail, this motion before us, the amendment, and that the and I'm happy to make a motion afterwards, is an amendment, is that we put the Nicolini family and other potential partners. That is what I intended from the beginning, and I don't know how council understood that to be, he's got to go back to square one. I don't understand that at all. So I'm happy to personally vote against this, have the Nicolini family in there, and any other potential partner. It's simple, and I don't know why it turned out to be so complicated.
Thank you. I will now call the vote. Sorry, you've spoken twice, Councillor Groves, and I'm sticking to the bylaw. All in favor? Opposed? And it fails. Okay. Councillor Misipelli, did you want to bring on another motion for amendment? No. No, we're still. The amendment failed. You're still on the board, so.
Okay, so let me process this. We just lost that. Okay, so then I would.
See it on the board.
He's got the mic.
So right now we've already included the staff be included, correct? That's in there. Okay, that. The reference to the partnership with Mr. Nicolini be reinserted along with any other potential partners. And all other potential partners. Something along those lines.
waiting for the printer. Go ahead. You can put it up there so everybody can read while we're getting that signed. Thank you, Ethan. I appreciate it. So if everybody can read the screens, because we just need to keep moving, added the words that all potential partners after the Nicolini family of Bolton. It's moved by Councillor Misapelli, second by Councillor Groves. All in favor? Carried. But we'll do a recorded vote on the final. So now we'll have, as the motion amended, that's where I figured we'll. So on the amended motion, as amended, all it's. Sorry, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote's been called on the motion as amended. All in favor. So I see everyone standing is in favor. The motion carried.
Okay, so we're back to the main motion that moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer, that December 5th, 2017 General Committee report recommendations regarding the following items be adopted. Staff report 2017-138 regarding the proposed 2018 budget. Recorded vote. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Through you to staff. I know we did a whole bunch of amendments and we changed a whole bunch of things around last time. Okay. So we're still at, on the town side, that's where we are, 5.97% after all the changes. Okay.
And we blended it to
okay. So I understand the blended rate and I know we've always gone on the blended rate, but I know that on the town side is where a lot of residents are looking at saying, you know, 5.97% is a lot of money, or it's a lot, it's a huge increase. Staff has done a great job on the budget. There are a lot of good things in the budget, and I know all for one, Mr. Cameron is at the back of the room, and that turf field, we all want the turf field and the track. And he's done a great job in bringing us $900,000 as a partner to the table. So while the budget has a lot of good things, and I'm looking at the town side because that's where I was hoping to bring it down with some of the motions that came forward from Councillor Shaughnessy, and that is to bring down that 5.97%, which would bring down the overall average as well, and it would be more palatable for residents when they look at the budget impacts on the municipal side alone, that it would be less than that. You know, some of the comments I hear from folks is that they're not getting those types of raises at work and then things like that. And some of them are on fixed income and it becomes very, very difficult. And I know when we equate it, we say it's, I don't know, $14 or something like that or somewhere in that vicinity. But, you know, there are folks who are struggling right now and they can't even meet their expenses. So I have a tough time supporting 5.97% on the municipal side. And certainly I want to just thank Mr. Galloway and his staff. It has absolutely nothing to do with the budget. I mean, you've been directed and you've been directed by this council to bring a budget forward, and you've done so to the best of your ability, but it's still on a bit of the high side on the municipal side. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Yeah. Where do I start? I know my residents will not be happy with 5.97% on the town side. Why won't they be happy? Because they're not getting anything. Caledon Village needed that darn study. We need lots of things on the west side of Caledon, and for some reason this council just doesn't grant it. And 4 years trying to get that through, MTL wanting to, we're willing to accept it, work with us, and this council said no. I just find it, it's a very divided council. It's like, it's all about them, not the whole big picture. And my residents have spoken loud and clear. And I actually think I'm going to have a tax revolt one of these days, because they paid the majority of taxes up until about 2010. They were the highest taxed ward in Caledon, and they still don't get anything. So I can definitively say I am not going to support this budget. Absolutely not. We deserve better. So thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? If not, Madam Clerk.
Thank you. A recorded vote has been called. All those in favor, please stand. Councilor Mazzapelli, Councilor Innes, Councilor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councilor Beffert, Councilor Downey, Councilor DeBoer, all those opposed, please stand. Councilor Shaughnessy, Councilor Groves, the motion carries.
Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer, that December 5th, 2017 General Committee recommendation regarding the following items be it. Oh, sorry. Just getting late. I need a seconder. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor McClure, December 5th, 2017, General Committee report recommendation regarding the following item be adopted. Staff report 2017-149 regarding proposed 2018 fees bylaw. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I brought an amendment forward that the clerk has with regard to the fill fees. And if you would like to put it on the board so council members can see it, I'd appreciate it.
Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor McClure, that paragraph 3 be deleted and replace the following, that the fee for fill heavy truck load Caledon Road use be amended from $6.80 per load per lane kilometer to $2 per load per lane kilometer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Okay, so the reason I brought this forward was that at committee, there were difference of opinions. There was, and I think what got the members on council to not support the mayor's motion was because of the removal of those fees. And I heard council, and I believe in trying to find some sort of balance. I went to the excess fill symposium, which is going to definitely have an effect on our fill bylaw. I also spoke to bylaw department asking about some timelines, and they couldn't even begin to give me timelines on the fill bylaw. My farming community for the last 5-6 years have been waiting for something to come forward, and it just hasn't. So I think in the interim, staff can review it, but I think we have to give some relief to agricultural properties. So instead of removing any fees, I'm making the suggestion that we lower it to something that is palatable, and I hope that other members on council will support this motion. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
I think there's some, I have a lot of concern with just arbitrarily picking a fee. I know staff worked hard to come up with the number that they have. I do support that we need to do something different, maybe for an agricultural operation, and identifying it as the topsoil portion of it without having our fill bylaw addressed. We really can't do that, and I think that's where the last time we talked about it, I think it's very important for us to get our fill bylaw completed and look at the fees as part of the fill bylaw when we've got everything identified. It makes it a whole lot fairer and the long term for agriculture, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm part of the industry, and I think it needs to be addressed in that manner. I know that there is some people who try to use who haven't entirely been truthful or made investments in dirt that haven't really benefited the soil. And our goal and my goal would certainly be that we need to come up with a plan that works well, and it does augment the soil to the benefit of the properties. So I wouldn't be supporting this, but I definitely want to encourage staff to get to the bylaw so that we can have that come to the public, so that we can have some discussions around the fill bylaw as well as the fees associated with it. Thanks.
Okay. Councillor Bufford.
I agree with Councillor DeBoer. I'm a little concerned about picking a number. I'm also concerned about the fact that there's a fee for a heavy truckload and then a fee for an empty truck, and yet we don't have any real data as to what that should be. So I think there are a lot of questions have to be asked, and I appreciate people coming forward saying that they believe there's inequity, and I believe they're right, there's an inequity. I'm not sure whether Councillor DeBoer is asking for this to be referred back or what the situation is, but I agree, staff have to look at this and give us some solid information when they bring this report forward.
Okay. Councillor McClure.
Yes, I believe the farming community should have an opportunity to get fill into farmland, and having this high fee, it won't be happening. I think we have to help the local farmers.
Thank you, Gord. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Okay, so it is still referred back to staff. So it will still be going back to staff. So I just want to alleviate Mr. Beffert's concern. Nobody's talking about that, but we're talking in the interim. And I have old agricultural pits that need to be refurbished. This is stopping it. Nobody can afford to do it. I have farmers on Highway 24 that have 2 inches of topsoil sitting on top of the bedrock. They need more soil. This is only meant until staff can come back. And I can tell you, we won't get it before the end of this term because the excess fill bylaw is going to have a lot of influence. And I think we need to at least allow, after mid-May, the ability to improve some of our agricultural land, which is what this is all about. And as far as arbitrary, but the fee to and from on the haul routes was arbitrary. So having the $2 was something that I thought that farmers could find palatable. We didn't have as far as the haul routes go, nobody did any analysis on the cost of the haul routes. So this wasn't to deal with the haul routes. We're still getting money. We're still getting money, just not as much money, and that we won't hamper agricultural properties being improved next year, because if we don't do something, it's not going to happen. And so that is why I brought it forward, trying to balance out, trying to find some middle ground between what was being charged and which was cost prohibitive. I was trying to find balance. I was trying to find something in between. So that is why I brought it forward. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to call the vote. All in favor? What?
Thank you, Worship. A recorded vote's been called. All those in favor, please stand. Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Groves, all those opposed. Councillor Mazzapelli, Councillor Innes, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, the motion carries.
Moved by Councillor Misipelli, second by Councillor McClure, the following paragraph be added. The fees by law amend to waive the response open air permit fee. A resident who does not have a burn permit and responding with fire staff to determine a non-emergency and that there were no damages one time within the town or within their Caledon residency, that the property owner be issued a warning and charged with an applicable burn permit fee. Okay. So it's moved by Councillor Misipelli, second by Councillor McClure. Councillor Misipelli, you're on the floor.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. This is the motion I brought at committee, which had a fair amount of support. There was some comments and concerns about instances where clearly the burn was not a small controlled recreational burn. It was much more. I know we're all familiar with the one that turned into a grass fire. Certainly I wasn't supportive of just offering a warning for that. There was obviously a fire that never should have been had that got way out of control. So the language in here clearly states that it is only for where responding fire staff determined it was a non-emergency call and there are no damages. So that is the instance where someone's having a small controlled recreational burn, the neighbor calls to complain, one truck goes out to investigate, there's no emergency, there's no damage. Those are the instances that will lead to an $800 fine or fee. That is quite exorbitant for homeowners. So this is saying, you know what, you get a one-time warning for your permanent residency in Caledon, no matter where you live, because forevermore you should know better. And when you get a permit, you read it and understand it. If there's a fire ban, you cannot burn. All of the requirements for having a recreational burn are in place. So that is what this is basically asking. My hope here is that we reduce or eliminate the instances where residents have to come to us, delegate, asking for forgiveness, a reduction, because this will create a policy that makes it pretty black and white. Looking for support. Thanks.
Okay. No further questions. All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Back to the original motion for December 5th, 2017, General Committee report recommendation regarding the following item be adopted. Staff report 2017-149 regarding proposed 2008 budgets fee, and that's moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor McClure. Recorded vote. On the fees.
Thank you, Your Worship. There's been a recorded vote for the fees bylaw as amended. Those in favor, please stand. Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Misipelli, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, Councillor Groves. Motion carries. Now, on to correspondence.
Okay. Is there any correspondence in the correspondence package that anybody wants brought forward? Correspondence? Any correspondence?
There was only one letter.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move on. Any announcements? I'm looking around. Any inquiries? Nope. Okay. Oh, Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I have actually two. At one of the meetings, I did ask about Dr. Diane Sachs coming to do a presentation here. I think there was something in a report in here as well, but I haven't received any feedback on what's happening with that and if anybody's been in touch with her to do a presentation and if it's even going to happen. So,
Mr. Gord.
I apologize. I was organizing the bylaws. Sorry,
okay.
Could you ask again?
It's about Diane Sachs.
Dr. Sachs. So I had asked at one of the one of our meetings to have Dr. Sachs come and do a presentation
through climate change.
Yes,
so through the mayor to Councillor Groves, we have made the request. I will follow up and to see whether we've heard a response.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you. The other one I keep hearing, and even tonight, people driving here, is the bridge at Old Church Road. What is happening with that? People are saying it's an inconvenience, and even tonight, people getting here. So, through you to Mr. Wong, what is happening with that, and what is the delay?
December 24th.
It's a region appeal. I don't know, Mr. Wong, if you have an update, but it's a region.
Mayor Thompson, that's what I was going to say. We can follow up with the region. It's a region appeal project.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, I will follow up with the region appeal then.
Well, you're Vice Chair of Public Works.
That's right. So I will follow up with them.
What's up there?
Okay.
They just delivered the beams 2 weeks ago.
Okay, I'll follow up. Disaster. I did have one more. Sorry, and it's through you to the clerk. When we make council inquiries, and I did ask, are these inquiries not recorded, or should they not be recorded if they're not?
Madam Clerk?
Through the mayor to Councillor Groves, they're recorded on the audio recording, but because council is not actually voting on anything and providing us direction, there's no requirement to be minuted in the minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Councillor Mizzapelli?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I know it's getting late. You clumped together inquiries and announcements. Can I make announcements?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just wanted to make note that on January the 7th, which is a Sunday, the town will be hosting Winterfest at the Mayfield Recreational Center. So invite the public to come celebrate winter and the new year as well. Headwaters Tourism is co-hosting a rural tourism symposium, which is being held Tuesday, January the 16th. It's an opportunity for people in rural tourism kind of industry to attend, and it's going to be a very, very good seminar. I've seen the lineup, and it looks really good. Interested in registering, it's www.headwatersb2b.ca. And lastly, just for myself, I'd like to wish the public, staff, my colleagues on council a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Rob, and Merry Christmas to you and everybody as well. But what I wanted to say is you were talking about Winterfest. There's one little thing, and fortunately Stan Cameron has left. But we did a competition with Mr. Cameron and the school board with the grade 5 classes, and they all did an essay competition, and they were vetted out, and then we got the top ones, and they were amazing. And what it was, what would you do if you were a mayor for a day? And I'm going to tell you, the essays were amazing, but one that came out on top is a young student who's new to the community, is at Herb Campbell School, and I was so impressed with his essay. You know, we're going to have him as the young mayor of the day at Winterfest. So I think it's just a nice way to do that. I know they're going to get a pizza party, but we just thought we'd just go one extra that he can have the honor of being an acting mayor for the day at Winterfest. And I think it's just a great way to sum up. And we've had some amazing essays come in from these kids. So anyway, Councillor Befford.
Yeah, I'd just like to say how positive the luncheon was this past week for staff. It's so good to see the everybody come in and the follow-up comments. And it's just a great time. And also senior management for providing a little bit of goodie tonight before this meeting. It was well appreciated. And like my colleague over there, Mr. Mizzapelli, wish everybody a happy season. And remember, it's family time. Take the time to relax and enjoy and have a bubbly and enjoy your family.
Yeah. And some of us will make this more special than most years. Okay. So, anyway, I'm going to move forward. Moved by Councillor Mizzapelli for bylaws and second by Councillor Downey. The following bylaws be read first time and passed. Bylaw 2017-76, Bylaw 2017-77, Bylaw 2017-78, Bylaw 2017-80, Bylaw 2017-81,
2017-82, 2017-83, 2017-84. We got three pages yet. Bylaw 2017-85, Bylaw 2017-86. All in favor? Carried. Okay. Moved by Councillor Municipelli, second by Councillor Befford, that the following bylaw be read the first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2017-79. The bylaw to establish 2018 fees and charges of services planning applications by the Corporation of the Town of Caledon. Repeal bylaw 2016-102 to be amended. Okay, so now I got another amendment here. Moved by Councillor Municipelli, second by Councillor Downey, that the following be added in the response to the open air burn fee. The response to their open air burn fee will be waived for a resident one time with their Caledon residency who does not have a burn permit, where a responding fire chief determines it was not an emergency, there were no damages, and the applicant burn permit fee will be payable. Okay. So we'll vote on the amendment first. All right. All in favor of the amendment? Carried. All in favor of the actual bylaw fee? Carried. Thank you. Moved by Councillor Befford, second by Councillor DeBoer. The following bylaw be read in first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2017-87 to confirm the proceedings of the Council Corporation of the Town of Caledon and its Council meeting held the 12th day of December 2017. All in favor? Councillor McClure, you want to move adjournment? Second by Councillor Municipelli. Thank you, everybody. Merry Christmas, everybody.